You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes!
win!
Yes! Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson. Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome along. It's that time of week again where you get 2 hours live rugby league chat, not just when the football isn't on every week of the season. The regular season is done and dusted. Castleford Tigers, well, they're already in the playoffs, but who's going to join them? Have St Helens and Wigan kept their seasons alive? Wakefield were disappointing in defeat yesterday, but Scorry was pleased for two reasons. One, he got his chip butty on time, and two, John Wilkin didn't kick the ball. But Scorry, who about 2 or 3 months ago said St Helens' season was over, he's going backwards at a very, very fast rate of knots. He's changed his mind. He thinks St Helens could go all the way now. What do you think? Richard Shawright is with us. Phil Kaplan is with us. Gary Schofield is here as always. And you, the listener, more than welcome to get in touch at RL on RY. Lots of people been getting in touch already, letting us know what you want to talk about. If you're new, you're just joining us on Facebook for the first time, it's facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire. You can get in touch there and have your say. It's 2 hours live rugby league debate. What do you want to talk about? We'll talk about. You might want to talk about Hull KR losing their last two games of the season. Halifax, great win for them over the Robins to secure their place in the top four. And it's Toulouse who miss out. And the Bradford Bulls might be relegated in 2 weeks' time if they don't win their opening game. The 2V experiment has not worked. The RFL's decision to dock them 12 points has not worked. What happens next for the Bulls? Do you think they'll go down, or will they be saved yet again? We'll discuss that and more. It's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Richard Shawright, have you cancelled the Open Top Bus Parade? Is it gone now? Have you binned it off? Is Wakefield's season over?
Hashtag Top 5 Tour. That's on now. Still on. Still going. Keeping the faith. Just about. It's just a small setback on the road to Old Trafford. It's the roadworks on the M62 on the road to Old Trafford.
Why has everybody said that the season's finished?
Because it has.
It's the end
of the regular season.
The week after next, will be round 24.
It's the end of the regular season. Everyone's told me. You know, Castleford have got the league leadership.
Wakefield have not finished fifth. Wakefield are currently in fifth with 7 games to go. Mm. All that has been determined is who they will be playing in those games.
Well, that's correct. It was a triple header yesterday for Gary. He was down at Bellevue yesterday afternoon. He got his chip butty nice and early. So Wakefield have gone into the top four on the Super League food charts.
Ooh, without a doubt.
He's happy about that. John Wilkin didn't kick the ball. And Scott, you were getting blamed rather than James Child for giving some bad decisions. So, I mean, I don't know how you managed to affect. This must be having a chip butty before the game does. You can impact the game now.
Yeah, it's a little bit harsh at times, isn't it? You know, when the fans just look at you and blame you for, you know, for the calls, what the referee are getting. It brought a bit of fun and a bit of laughter to the press guys from there. But I tell you what, though, fellas, hey, listen, if the Wakefield fans, yeah, they listen every week, don't they? But Wakefield didn't play too bad yesterday. They didn't play too bad. It was just a matter of.
You must have been watching a different game to all the people on Facebook last night. We're rubbish.
No, Rich,
sack Liam
no, I'm
Finn,
telling you, listen,
sack
giving,
Danny Kerman,
well,
sack all everyone.
I'm giving an open, honest opinion. Wakefield didn't play too bad yesterday. It was just that St Helens, they were top draw.
It's a benchmark game for Wakefield. If they seriously want to be in the top four, and there's no reason why they can't, but it's still in their hands, they need to match the intensity that St Helens
turned
up. But
St Helens yesterday, they were top draw. And I say, not just all the players from 1 to 17, I'll pick out a few individuals. The first one I'm going to pick out is certainly John Wilkin. Yesterday, he showed yesterday what a quality back row player he is when he plays like a back rower. He played like an old-fashioned loose forward. You know, like Millington plays at Cass. That's how he was playing. And when he was taking the ball up, he was going hard and straight and
he's
direct.
Tough, he's tough.
All sorts of,
yeah.
Oh, he's, he always has been.
And he can get the ball away.
That's never been in doubt. And his ball skills as well, the combination at times when it needed with Richardson and Fiofard was quality. So that's the best I've seen Wilkin play for ages. And he wasn't interested in kicking kicking the ball. Great variation from Theo Farge and Richardson. Certainly, you know, Wakefield couldn't get anywhere near him, certainly, of the kicking game, because they both, you know, took on the responsibility
so
and asked many, many questions.
You're Justin Holbrook. Matty Smith is effectively a Kieran Cunningham signing.
Yeah.
Through no fault of Matty's, he gets a bad eye injury.
Yeah.
But apparently not too far off coming back, hopefully. You've gone in there, you're an attack-minded coach, you've looked at some of the
Holbrook
kids.
Holbrook is, that's what he is.
Yeah, and you've thought, this Richardson, he probably needed to go and learn something at Swinton for a couple of weeks.
No, I don't believe that.
I want him now involved in my team.
Yeah.
How does he fit Matty Smith in?
He doesn't. Matty Smith can't get in. Simple as that. The combination between Richardson and Theo Farge was outstanding. But also, as well, I thought Roby off the back of Sid. With Sid Tellens of old, playing off back of the quick play of the balls, the four was just hammering it in there. Wayford had no answer, to be honest with you, from there. But Roby,
speed of the play of the ball?
Yeah, the speed of the play of the ball. He was back to his best. The forwards, as I say, but they've got plenty of pace in the back line. But hey, listen, Wakefield fans, don't be disheartened by yesterday's performance. All right, 41-16, the scoreline finish. Don't be disheartened with that. Sid Tellens yesterday were absolute quality, and yes, Mark Wilson, you are correct. 3 months ago, when Cass absolutely hammered him in the Challenge Cup, yes, I did say Sid Tellens' season is finished. I haven't seen Sid Tellens for a while, but I tell you what, even when I was watching them in the warm up, it's a new different dimension. There wasn't, you know, in the warm up, they wasn't going across the field and just dropping the ball back off inside, they was playing with width. That's what Sid Tellens are all about. And yesterday, from 1 to 17, they were quality. Don't rule them out.
Well,
don't rule them out for the top four.
In Lomax, Makinson and Percival, they've got... And then you add in the thrill, excitement of Regan Grace.
And you've got coming there as well in September, is
you,
that right?
You start looking at that back division and suddenly they can do anything.
Or they could cause damage. And I say that forward pack, it's big and mobile, it's bringing off the bench. Alex Warnes, I'm not so sure Alex is a bench player, but same as Kyler Moore. McArthur Scarsbrook, he's found a new lease of life. Shocking hairstyle, by the way, as well, to be honest with you. But I tell you what, the kid is enjoying himself. He's scoring tries. He's got that smile back his face. But St Helens yesterday, they were the St Helens of old. Wakefield fans, don't get disheartened. Don't get disheartened with that performance, because St Helens were the far better team of the day. Just accept that. And now you've got 7 games to go to get yourself in that top four. And I just want to say as well, how well I finished on Wakefield. Michael Carter, you did the lads proud, and can't wait to go back to Wakefield again for the next chip butty when we're down there in the Middle Eights. Thank you very much.
Very good indeed. In the Super Eights, I think you'll find.
Well, the Super Eights, whatever they
so
call it.
So you've just
anyway.
Gone and undone all that nice work, and then you've relegated
them.
Well,
whatever they call it.
Well, anyway. Send you to go watch Sheffield in the Championship Shield, you'll enjoy that.
Whatever they call it.
We'll get a poll out there, Rich, I think, to see if we think Saints. Who's more likely to win the Super League, Saints or Wigan? We'll ask that question in here later. What we normally do, and this, as people, regular listeners to this show will know, we review what happened last week. So it is only fair we review our own performance last week. On Tuesday night, we went to Casey's Fish and Chip restaurant in Ossett.
Beautiful. Quality fish.
Beautiful. We took on the Whale Challenge. And it's fair to say we were more Widnes Vikings than Castleford Tigers.
Well, that's a bit
we
harsh.
Were rubbish.
More Bradford Bulls.
Well, that's a bit harsh. So, people obviously who haven't seen it on YouTube, and you can watch it. You can actually, if you're watching on Facebook, at the end of the show, you better watch it. You better see it all happen.
I know what you're leading up to.
I mean, very reminiscent, really, of what happened in the rugby league season, because Richard, rather like Wakefield, he did pretty well. He's done quite well. You, as in your career, failed quite miserably, really, on the medals front.
Promised a lot, delivered little.
Exactly. Talked a good game, but didn't deliver one. I like the Bradford Bulls, never in the running. And Phil, just like Leeds, a quiet achiever, really. Peaked when he needed to and got the job done.
He did indeed. Well, I tell you, even the build-up for Phil, even when he was driving over, you could see that sentiment in. But to be honest with you, I took the advice of the lovely Cat, who was the joint owner of Casey's Fish and Chips, and she gave us the advice, didn't she? She said, listen, you've got to rip in for the first 20 minutes, because after 20 minutes, you're going to struggle. So what did the legend do? He ripped in. He ripped in for the first 20 minutes and then gone by 22. Failed miserably.
And I followed shortly. I just didn't want to lose to you. But there have been a lot of pro Gary Schofield messages on Twitter because you went out first and I followed. Rich, he was like a horse, wasn't he, over a mile. He was going great for 7 furlongs, and then he ran out on the last furlong.
It was a little bit like the Grand National. He got over the chair and got over Beaches Brook nice, and then just going cruising. All of a sudden, he gets over Beaches and then puts the brakes on. I can't go any further, yeah. which were quite surprising. Quite surprising. Well, but
Phil Kaplan.
I was just going to say
Devon Locke. I was trying to think all through the video last week, I was trying to think of the horse. I was Devon Locke, and I tried to jump the fence. I wasn't there, and I lost.
But the tactical, genius on our left hand side here in Phil Kaplan.
Well, before we praise him, there has been a demand, and I suggested this at the time. Maybe we should have weighed the plates. Is that a lot of people are saying that we all let more than Phil, yet Phil was crowned the winner.
I'm not sure you did. I think if you look at the amount of white plate at the end. But it was tactical. Wasn't. What have you said all the time we've been in this year? You've got to plot your way around.
Mm. You play with that vision and awareness, didn't you? You know, you had a bit of patience.
I wish I had some patience, to be honest. I reckon if Richard had gone fish first rather than chips first, he would have won.
Right.
Wrong option.
But I tell you what, though, there were quality fish and chips, and thanks again to Casey's because they looked after us brilliantly, didn't they?
I almost feel we should open up the doors to four listeners who think they can do it.
If you think
you can do it. Well, I've worked with the powers that be. We might have a listeners one and see if they can do it, because a lot of people are going, oh, it's easy. Phil, it was not easy.
And all the four of us will go down there as well and watch him and just say to him, come on then. 20 minutes. No,
let's hear from the champion.
32-ounce fish is enormous, because you eat as much of it as you can and there's still the same amount there. I think we all knew when they bought the plates out that we weren't going to do it.
I knew when I saw Scully's face when he saw the fish. I thought, gee, no. Done. Well, we give it a go.
But it was a fabulous. I mean, I have to credit again Tom's editing skills. It was huge fun, and the people there looked after us. Yeah. We even had a crowd watching us who were spurring us on and were great. They couldn't have been more helpful or accommodating. The meal couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
We did the best we could.
And just out there, and if there's any more restaurants out there, whether there's any Indian restaurants, Chinese restaurants, or any restaurants out there who do spare ribs or burgers and what have you. Well,
there are going to be some RL on RY challenges coming up.
Great stuff. Well, as I say, the team here at Radio Yorkshire, where we will be delighted.
Well, already, they're queuing up here. Mark Gallone says, I could do two.
You can't, Mark.
No, I'm telling you now, Mark. You can't.
Hey, listen, hold on. I'm just trying to get the restaurants out there.
You know, if anybody... you mean you're after a freebie?
No, you're after a freebie, aren't you? If any restaurant wants us to take the challenge on, we'll be delighted to do it, whether it's Indian food, Chinese food, spare ribs.
We've had another
burgers,
invitation.
We'll be delighted.
We have had an invitation. We are all cordially invited to the Butts Park Arena on Saturday, the 16th of September, for Coventry Bears against South Wales. Game to be preceded by a two-course hot meal, if we want to go.
Is it free accommodation overnight stay?
In Coventry.
You're always on the want, Schofield. Put your hand in your pocket.
I'm not telling you out of Coventry. I need some food coming over.
Thank you, Coventry Bears.
Thanks for the invitation.
You know when you buy a suit and the pockets are sewn up? Is that what your trouser pants are like? I've never seen you put your hand in your pocket once.
Mr. Wilson, take a long, hard look at yourself, son. Exactly.
I like the mirrors broke.
Someone said, who's bothered about our eating habits? What about the rugby? Well, I can tell you, having watched Warrington and Wigan on the telly, you'd rather hear us talk about fish and chips.
Actually, that was more competitive, to be honest.
Huddersfield versus Hull, which was awful as well. And there you go.
Wigan v Leeds were much better. Yeah, the Wigan kids did all right, but the Wigan's performance was shocking as well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's open it up to social media then. Let's see where they want to go. The listener, control where it goes. We've had our 5 minutes. Fish and chip eating fun.
Well, the Saint has started with, are you going to give Saint some credit? Well, we started with that. Actually, Saint. Paul Ludo Lewis says the final round of matches before the 8 should all kick off at the same time. Toulouse might be in the qualifiers, and a few people have already asked us our thoughts on
that. Well, I don't think it would have made any difference, because Halifax would have still thought they had to win.
Yeah.
And OKR
would have played exactly as they would have done.
Exactly. I don't think on this occasion it made any difference, personally.
A lot of people were very impressed with the Hull KR performance yesterday.
Yeah.
Certainly Halifax fans.
Yeah. I like Dave Sinner's tweet there.
Oh, we're talking about Jack Walker.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few of these. Despicable. It's all Dave's. Despicable Dave says, what does the panel think about the Jack Walker press release by Leeds? Justified or intimidation by Hetherington, he asks. And Dave says, as well as a lot of other things, has Jack Walker already told Wayne Bennett he wants the England number one jersey, or he's off to play for Scotland yet?
Right, let's get the world... Come on, the Leeds boys. Who wants to go first?
Well, I don't mind the kid's confidence. And for mine, he's ready for first-team football week in and week out. He's shown that. There's no doubt about that. And going out alone to anywhere, it'll do him no good whatsoever. And playing in the academy, it'll do him no good whatsoever from there. So the kid, he's got ambition. He wants to play first-team football week in and week out. And I felt it was a little bit naughty by Leeds by saying, you know, they're covering themselves a little bit by, they've offered Jack Walker this and, you know, putting the blame on him, really. But he's fought up his options. First of all, the option is Aston Gulden. He wants to be the fullback who signed. Is it a 4 or 5 year deal from there? So he ain't going to get the number one shirt from there.
How do you know? Why?
Well, we don't know, do we? But obviously, you know, we don't know. We're not privy to the conversations, but Gulden signed a 4 or 5 year deal, so he's the number one. The only time we'll play a fullback will be if he's injured, because we'll be for sure. Well, I saw of Aston Gulden on Friday night, he'll never play standoff again. No way, man. He's never going to be a number six whatsoever. So that's one option he's got to take, to Jack Walker, and a save. And then if he's not playing rugby, is he going to get loaned out? It's far too good for that. So I don't mind the kid's confidence. I don't mind his ambition. And if he's got to go and find where he wants to play first team football week in and week out, so be it.
He isn't going to play first team football at fullback on a regular basis for any Super League team at the moment.
Why not?
He isn't ready.
He's not ready.
He's not had a full pre-season.
Have you been watching a different play to me then?
Hold on. You know what? He did okay against Doncaster, and I say okay because defensively he didn't look great that night, and that was against Doncaster.
How good was he against
scoring three tries.
How good was he against St Helens?
He had a good game.
He had a good game.
How will he be doing in 10 weeks' time when they're bombing him every week and they're smashing him in the tackle because they know what he's all about?
Then we'll find out how good he is by playing 10 consecutive games, but he ain't going to get that, is he?
I think we saw a little bit of that on Friday night, when Leeds chose to play a team of young kids, and whilst their desire could not be faulted, very few of the teenagers are physically developed to play at that level. Jack Walker hasn't had a full pre-season yet as a full-time professional. He's not going to walk into any Super League team at the moment and play week in, week out, whoever signs him, or if he stays where he is. I bet you he does. He's not physically developed enough at the moment. He's only played half a dozen games. And in fact, at the start of the season, nobody was talking about him. 3 months into the season, nobody was talking about him.
Why are people talking about him now? Because
he's had a good run of 6 games, but that doesn't mean that he can play week in, week out.
Why not?
Because he's not physically developed enough to play at that level for week in, week out.
Well, I beg to differ.
I think there's two sides to this. One will be a financial one. I'm sure that he is being offered more money elsewhere, and as a young kid, he has to weigh up what's best for him on that front. And the other one is, where does somebody want to play? And at 17, and he has said it himself, there is no doubt that it's not just the reporting of Leeds, he has said he wants to be fullback. He doesn't enjoy, at the moment, playing standoff as much, even though, theoretically, there's more of a window for him there. I think at 17, you just play wherever. To be included in the first team squad. I spoke to Alex Sutcliffe after the game, who made his debut, who is just slightly older than Jack Walker. The first thing that Alex Sutcliffe said was, I can't believe I've got my first team opportunity at the moment. I'm absolutely knocked out to even have a heritage number by having played for Leeds. But I will play anywhere. And I think at that age, being in and around a first team squad has got to be the first option. You are not going to be first choice in any Super League team. So take 2 years where you are, in an environment you know. Maybe look to renegotiate after those 2 years at a level that, if you've made it and fulfilled it, you deserve it. I think the other thing is, what's wrong with competition? Just because Aston Gulden at the moment is the number one.
Yeah.
You know, how many times? It might have been Craig Harrison on Twitter this week that perhaps unfairly has come into some criticism. Yeah. Right. But he was saying he got Paul McShane to Castleford, even though Adam Milner was the hooker. Mm. And the way it's worked out is Paul McShane has shown his value that he should be the hooker, and Adam Milner is having a wow of a time playing at loose forward. What's to say that there isn't an accommodation somewhere along the line where Aston Gulden and Jack Walker can both be first team players?
Well, I'll ask you a question, Scott. If who was it who gave you your first team debut at Hull?
Arthur Bunting.
What if he'd have said, right, Scott, you're on the wing this week, son? What would you have said? Oh, I'm not playing, I'm a centre.
No.
Right, well, there you go, then.
Hold on, but you want to play first-team football, and that's what Jack Walker does.
Well, do you know he's not going to play on the wing?
He wants to play first-team football at fullback.
Yeah, how do you know he's not going to play on the wing?
He won't refuse to play. He won't refuse to play in any position.
Well, all right, I'll say this then. On my limited knowledge, if he hadn't said that, then my agent would be coming out and going, whoa, Leeds, what are you putting that in a thing? Because we have never said
that. I've heard him say it.
He's never come out and denied it. So he has said it, hasn't he?
The other thing is, when you signed for Hull at a not dissimilar age, were pitched straight into the first team, if they'd have said to you, we're playing you on the wing instead of in the centre, would you have said, oh, I'm only playing if
I can
be
honest with you, but to be honest with you, they knew I wasn't a winger. That's why they put me in the centre. That's why they dropped an international centre in Steve Evans for me to play.
But if they said, we want to see what you're like in this first team environment, to start with, Steve Evans is going to stay in the centre and you're going to play on the wing, you would have accepted that.
Yeah.
Initially, while you proved yourself.
But at the end of the day, they saw me as a centre. They saw me there you're ready for first team football, and that's where they stuck me straight away. So, yeah, I'll buy into exactly a competition for places from there. But the fact of the matter is, for young Jack Walker, he believes himself, and I don't mind his confidence whatsoever, that he's ready for first team football week in and week out. He doesn't want to play academy anymore. He wants to play a fullback, and if somebody else has given him the opportunity,
what happens in a month's time then, when he goes to his new club and he's had a bit of a shaky start and he's getting hammered, he's getting peppered, and he drops a few, and they go, sorry Jack, you're not playing next week.
That's his own fault.
I'll go back to Ryan Hampshire when he started at Wigan, played at fullback, played like a world beater, and ever since his career's gone nowhere.
I agree totally. He fixes tires, but he plays like chicken.
Is it confidence or is it arrogance?
I can't see a Super League team at the moment that needs a 17-year-old fullback.
Well, let's all stop dancing about the bush, right? We all believe he's going to Warrington. That is the beat on the jungle.
I think
he's going to Warrington.
Yeah. There is a possibility he may be thinking about staying at Leeds. It's not been ruled out.
So then, if he stays at Leeds and he's 17 and he's not playing first team football, where's he going to play? In the academy?
Well,
how's he going to develop the problem
that we've got, which we speak about every week, is that there is no defined career path for a young kid because there's no reserve grade you can play in. So in an ideal world, I think, because he isn't physically developed yet at 17, he hasn't had a full pre-season, I think the next step for him possibly is a year in the Championship on dual registration or loan.
He can play every week
against men.
But the same thing will apply. You drop the ball at fullback down at Fev, or you drop it at London, you'll be out of the team.
He can drop it at amateur level. Yeah,
by the same token, if Ashton Golding isn't playing to the level that Leeds want him to play at, there's your competition.
And heaven forbid, should anything have happened to Ashton Golding, he gets injured. You know, he just had 5-6 weeks out of the team. And then Jack Walker comes back in again. Makes it harder for Brian to leave him. He's got... I just can't believe what I've heard about this.
Listen to your voice there, Mr. Wilson. I don't think you're a lover of Jack Walker.
No, I think he's a good player. He's potential. He's played 6 games.
Well,
or 7 now.
These kids who are 8, 17, 18, they've all got potential. But the fact of the matter is, what is that potential going to be allowed to get out there and produce it week in, week out?
This is what I'm saying about Jack Walker.
He believes that he's ready for it week in and week out.
Brian McDermott clearly does it, and he speaks all the time about he's not physically ready to play every week.
Fullback is an unforgiving position. You're as likely to be trying to bring down a prop forward as you are. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting is that Zach Hardacre lent his support on social media to Jack Walker and said, you go for it, believe in yourself. If you want to be number one, you be number one. This, and I have absolutely nothing but respect for Zach Hardacre and the way his career's gone, but this is somebody who started on the wing, moved into the centre, before he became a Man of Steel winning fullback.
Yeah.
There is a process, I think, that you do have to go to. At 17, you are not ready to play week in, week out Super League rugby. There isn't any player who's done it at 17. Every week. Even Danny Richardson now is on, he broke into St Helens first team. He had to go to Swinton and was it Sheffield to get some experience. And now he's come back and now he's playing the way that we want him to play.
So you don't think we'll see an 18-year-old top of the try-scoring Chelsea Super League?
When No, I don't.
Who was our 18-year-old coach?
Yeah. I was not the answer.
Well, it wasn't.
It wasn't full time. He was allowed to play the position.
It wasn't full time then.
It makes a difference.
There is less space on the field. The players are bigger, faster, stronger.
Rubbish.
The space is not there.
They are fitter.
But they weren't doing it every minute of every game.
If they were full-time professionals, how good a players would they be?
Well, they would have been.
So don't give me that nonsense about some of these players.
But
couldn't lace their boots at times.
When Ben Barber is available, it'll be Danny Richardson that is put.
Well, it's just our game putting a back burner on our quality youngsters. And we're looking about a World Cup. We're not going to win the World Cup this year. We should be start thinking about the World Cup in 2021.
That I agree with 100%.
As I said last week or the week before, instead of picking overseas journeymen, simple as that.
Yeah, Ashton Golding from Bramley there. Yeah, overseas journeyman.
I'm joking, I'm winding you up, you're too easy. Do me a favour. You just don't like Leeds.
Well, no, we were admitting that before. that's fine. Well, it's a balance on that.
We have to have a balance.
We've got our diggers ready for the South Stand. We only shout out this week as well. And the two brand new listeners, the tuned in last week, and very, very good friends of mine, Thomas Hart and his mum, Alison, and a bit of a darling, actually. She thinks he's the Sharon Stone lookalike, does Alison. So, two brand new listeners to the show tuned in last week, and I say, you're more than welcome to keep listening. Do you know what? Scoey, you never seem to shut up. Nobody else gets a word in. A bit harsh.
That was the one good thing about the 20 minutes at the fish and chip challenge. I'll give you that.
We do have a in the media, so this is our fault. We are very quick to overhype any young talent who comes through the game as the next big thing. And Jack Walker's the latest.
Who's bigged him up?
The media, us.
Jack Walker's the next, you've just been bigging him up for the last 10 minutes.
Everyone apart from Gary Schofield.
I've never said Jack Walker's going to be the next Joe Lydon or this sort of thing.
But they do, don't they?
No, wait, mate. All I'm saying is Jack Walker is a talent and he's ready to play first team football.
He is a talent.
Week in week out. That's all I've said. I've not bigged him up.
Do people know who I mean when I say they? They do.
Anyway, he didn't answer my question. Who was the last 18-year-old to finish the top try scorer charts?
They did with Regan Grace at the start of the season because he scored a couple of tries and he was the next great winger.
But they say it before he's had a chance to prove it.
Yeah, but they do it before he's had a chance to prove it. It's like, and then we look back in a few years and go, whatever happened to such and such when he's plodding around at South Wales Ironman? Or whatever.
It's interesting. Perception. I don't think there's anyone that don't think he's a good player, but I think a lot of people looking at him think, you're turning down Leeds. That's a big call, son. He might be right in 5 years when he is Man of Steel and he's on £150 grand a year and he ain't bothered, but he could also go the other way.
The other thing with... Of course, that's what sport's all about, isn't it?
Of course it could go the other way.
But I think the other thing that is worth debating with regard to the lead situation is that their two generational halfbacks will be finishing at the end of this year.
Is he a fullback or is he a stand-off? Has he been playing stand-off, has he?
Well, because he was very, very good as a kid. When you're a good kid, you play stand-off in any team. He can play stand-off. He's played for the 19s at stand-off. But he sees himself as a fullback. But there is the possibility for somebody to take the number six shirt over a period of years in the same way that Danny Maguire has. And I'm not sure at the age of 17 that just because you might not prefer to play there, that actually you could make a lifetime decision by at least considering the fact that there is a position other than fullback. Time will tell, but I'd be tempted to look at the fact that England haven't got a lot of number sixes at the moment coming through, young kids, genuine number sixes. There's an opportunity there for somebody, if they really want to take it with both hands, to create something for themselves. And if that is... We must have all done it in this room. We must have all had visions of what we wanted to be when we grew up. I bet very few of us are actually doing what we perhaps wanted to do when we were younger.
Here's a question. Should Leeds have been given the £25 grand dispensation to give to Jack Walker and say, there's a kid who could well be in the 2021 World Cup. Here's his £25 grand. Keep him at Leeds.
Is he going to get that £25 grand though elsewhere?
Well, regardless.
I think the issue is not the person, but we should be looking at the 2021 World Cup as being the single event that can do the most good for this sport in the foreseeable future. And that, yes, there is a case for saying give 25 grand to players to keep them in the sport at the moment, but it might be that if you've only got, let's say, a pot of £400,000 or £500,000, that you actually reward the guys that are going to likely be playing in 2021. And that, even more importantly, you set up a halfback school at Castleford, where all three coaches are halfbacks, and you gather the talent or potential talent that could play in that position.
Never going to happen.
Which would include people like Jack Walker. And those are the people you look to reward with this extra money that you've got.
Never going to happen. Do you know why? Do you know why?
Because it's a good idea.
Because
it's a good idea.
Because coaches don't want to play the Darryl Powell way. They don't want to play the Darryl Powell way. Simple as that. It's never going to happen.
I think it's not about playing that way. It's about imbuing in the talent that we've got coming through the ability to play
Where are our quality halfbacks in? Right, OK, then. We've just named one, Richardson.
Yeah.
Ben Barber's going to come back. What we're going to do? Bin him.
But what we should be doing is saying to Richardson, even if he doesn't play when Barber starts this season, Barber's only going to be here maybe for 2 years.
What's going to happen with Matty Smith?
Somebody at St Helens will have to decide what their preferred combination is.
So what I'm saying is, you're trying to say here with Richardson then, put him on the back burner for 2 years.
No, what I'm saying is put him out to Castleford once a month or 2 months for a specific training session. That has nothing to do with Castleford, it's just at Castleford, because they've got three halfbacks who are coaches, and make him feel part of the England 2021 squad now.
So we've got two Australian coaches then, Tony Smith and Justin Holbrook. Declan Patton and Kieran Richardson, who are good enough to play.
Kieran Richardson, he plays left back, doesn't he?
Danny Richardson and Declan Patton. Do you really believe that whatever Darryl Powell is telling them two halfbacks or coaching mentors, what they're going to tell Tony Smith and Justin Holbrook, are going to let them listen to them? No way, mate. Not a chance. This is why we fall behind. This is why it ain't going to happen.
That Tony Smith and Justin Holbrook will be coaches of their respective clubs by the time the 2021 World Cup comes around?
We don't. Right, we've been asked to move on. Just one final point. If Mr Walker goes to Warrington, that means Stephen Ratchford's not going to be playing at full-back. Might well be playing at half-back. Your mate Declan Patton ain't going to be playing.
Do you know what I played at Stephen Ratchford? Loose forward.
So here's the last words on this, because Craig's saying, is this RL on our white or LR on our white? No, we're not Leeds Rhinos on our white.
No. How dare you?
Alex says, Leeds have hung him out to dry with the statement they released. I can see him at Wakey to replace the ageing Griggs. What about Max Jowett, though, Alex?
Yes.
It's only there. Danny says, we'll be even talking about this if it wasn't Leeds. They started it. They released a statement. If they hadn't, we wouldn't have known.
Mm-hmm.
The kid does right. He could go away and learn his trade, much like Gale did. Yeah, but Luke Gale learned it at a much lower level.
Doncaster, yeah.
Bob says it's a poor call from the player. Callum Lancaster at Hull left to try and get first-team football. Now he's without a club. And Tracy says, look what happened to Declan Patton. Same will happen to Jack Walker if he goes to Wire. Can't agree with Scully's arguments. But Alex does stay on Leeds. Well, we're still talking about Leeds. Speaking of Leeds, how does Aledski look?
How good does he look, was the tweet. How do you rate him, Aledski?
Oh, yeah, I rate him, yeah. I've seen him, yeah. Again, for mine, he's one who's ready for first-team football week in and week out, and I'm not listening to Phil Cappin saying they're not physically ready. Give him another 2 years. I'm not buying into it.
If he's not physically ready,
I'm not buying into it.
I think we're talking about a slight fullback as opposed to a rather large prop forward.
I think Aledski could eat Jack Walker for his breakfast and still be hungry.
Could eat those fish and chilies, so that's the question.
We're talking two totally different positions, and well, for mine, they're both ready for it. They are both ready.
All right, move on.
Get involved with your. Oh,
have you done? We've had
no.
No,
I'm waiting. I'm just clicking on something else. Yeah. Mark says, "Oh no, we'll do more leads later." Kevin says, "Listening from Lee, we are not going down."
Good man, good win for Lee.
We have
been Friday.
Asked about the middle eights, right. How we think they will fall. I think it was Andy. Yeah. Now they're confirmed. How do you see these finishing?
Right, we'll do a quick one round the room and want you to do the same on social media. I want you to tell us who you think might go up and who you think might go down. Two team names. Same question to you, legend. Who is most at danger of going down and who's got most chance of going up?
Witness go down and Oakley Rovers to come up.
All right, Phil?
I think the form that Widnes have shown to sink to the bottom of the league would be a real worry for me. I think Lee's win and not conceding a point going into the eights is actually quite significant. So I would have Widnes in the £1 million game. But I've got a sneaky feeling for London. I think there's a lot of good coming out of London at the moment. It's not just that they're playing well, it's just the points that they're scoring. The way that Andrew Henderson is saying we think we're ready for this, people are asking us whether we're capable of being promoted. We absolutely are. I don't think any team is going to relish going down to play in London. They're a danger because they know exactly the level of intensity that it takes week in, week out, because they did it last year. And what we forget about last year is they missed out on the £1 million game only by points difference. So they very nearly made that last year. I have a sneaky feeling that we're underestimating the threat of London.
Rich?
I think Widnes finished sixth. I don't think they even made
the £1 million game. Yeah, I'm with you. I said that earlier.
You know, I've only seen them a couple of times, but...
they don't score enough points, Rich.
That game against Huddersfield coloured everything for me. Mm. Huddersfield were good that night. They did everything they had to do.
They
didn't even have to be, did they?
Yeah.
Because Widnes were utterly dreadful. And it's all right saying, they played better against Warrington. They didn't win. And Warrington, for the most of that game, again, much like Huddersfield the week before, could have just won that game quite easily. And I worry about Widnes. Where's the quality? And have they brought anyone in on the deadline day? No. So they're playing with the hand they've been dealt with. And, you know, if you look at where they've got to go in the eights, they've got to go to Halifax. Well, Halifax will fancy it. They ran them close, didn't they, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, in the cup.
In the eights. Was it nil after 60 minutes or something?
4-0.
Yeah, 13-0 or something.
So, you know, Halifax will fancy it because Halifax are spoilers in this. They've got to go away to Lee. Well, again, Lee, as we said, starting to find a bit of form. They've got to go to Hull KR. That's a home win. And they've got to go to the Catalan Dragons. Home win.
I think Catalan have been very fortunate with who they've got at home. They've got some... I know they've got to go to Hull KR and Warrington, but they'll fancy beating Featherstone, Vikings, possibly Lee at home, and London at home. I think they've got four decent... But I think I could see them in the £1 million game, the Dragons.
Have they appointed the right coach for a relegation battle?
No, they haven't.
They can bring him in next season.
I tell you what I know, though, Catalans. How indisciplined are they? How indisciplined are the Catalans? You know, and I tell you what, I know, Greg Bird, you know, what a quality player he is, but I tell you what.
He's not fit, is he?
But I tell you what, he's a dirty so-and-so. He is. I tell you, I know that you talk about playing to the line, but boy, oh boy. He is a quality rugby league player, and he puts his body on the line, but I tell you what, if you could say some harsh words on radio, you wouldn't get away with it.
But you generally do.
He is a dirty so-and-so. He is, but that Catalans, how indisciplined are they
at times? Which bracket? Yeah. Are we going back to your era? Whose bracket is he in, then, so we've got a gauge?
Alan Rathbone?
Rathbone was one of them, wasn't he? Chris Arkwright? Roy Haggerty? But I think they might flatten him anyway. Don't worry about that.
Anyway,
I'll tell you the other one, and he was a back and all. Boy, oh boy, Eric Hughes, and another back, Eddie Cunningham. Len Casey, you know, but oh yeah, there was a few, but. Is it Greg Bird, a dirty player?
Well, is that going to go against them then?
This is what I'm saying, as a team, the Catalans, how indisciplined are they?
They are.
Who do you think will go up, though? Because Rich told us who would go down.
Oh, Hull KR. And potentially one other, who knows?
Hull KR have come in for a lot of stick last 2 weeks, but the facts are they've done what they needed to do. And their season starts in 2 weeks' time.
And the whole of their season started.
They will still go up. I am with you on London. I said right at the start of the year, I thought two would go up, and I'm still sticking with that. I think Widnes have gone, and I think it'll be Catalan in the £1 million game with London. That is where
you
I'm going.
You reckon Catalan's in a £1 million game?
I think they've been lucky with the thing, but you've still got to win.
I agree. Yeah.
I haven't seen anything that
Lee
makes
will be
me
all right.
Think...
Lee are prepared for this. They're ready for these seven games.
Well, they've got the benefit of and you made a point there about how London only just missed it. I think being in it before is a massive, massive advantage.
Yeah, it is.
Lee flopped first year, got it right second year. London flopped last year. I expect them to get it very well. Say flop, that's harsh. Mm-hmm. They got three wins at mm-hmm. the end. They could have got. Yeah. They could have done it. And they were competitive for large parts of games, but then got blown away in others. But
I also think that Warrington have hit form, if form is the right word, at the right time to string three wins together. I think they're going into the eights with a mentality again that we know we can do this. We just depends what how the fixtures fall, but I expect Warrington to effectively do what Leeds did last year.
Okay.
So yeah,
loads of people coming in who've had their say.
Well, yeah, let's see what they.
I'm hoping that there's a trophy created for Warrington to win in the final game of the Super Eights as Leeds got last
year. Like the Beveridge.
Exactly. I don't know who they're going to name it.
Who
after,
could they? Could they have?
If anyone can, if anyone can tell us.
The Des Drummond Trophy. Yeah, the Des Drummond Trophy. Warrington play Lee. Yeah, Des play for both clubs. Yeah, the Des Drummond Trophy.
You only allowed to get a trophy if you're playing into Lee and you've had someone who's played for both clubs. So if you haven't, Catalan, try to look. Yeah. They probably have. Lots of people amazingly thinking. Witness down, KR up. That's Wayne's thoughts. Dave's. He thinks the £1 million game will be Lee versus London. Simon says Widnes are going down. He thinks Featherstone could go up. They've got a new coach. Don't rule them out. Obviously, they were unlucky, I guess, at the weekend against Toulouse. Very close game.
Well, I heard they got a bit of stick because didn't they go for a drop goal at the end? And if they'd have just run the clock down, they would have got a point. They would have seen them third.
Yeah, they went for two drop goals by all accounts.
Well, Mark Campbell wanted attacking rugby. They attacked and they lost.
The interesting thing for Featherstone will be which Leeds players will be allowed to go on dual reg for them.
Yeah. Or, I guess they've got to sort that out now, haven't they? Because they can't go back. And Bradford.
And Hunslet.
And Hunslet.
And who else will Leeds let the players out to everybody?
West Wales
Sheffield,
Raiders.
Doncaster.
Lots of pro Greg Birdcore, no, anti Greg Birdcore.
Oh, yes.
Lots of those. Won't read any of those out. Els thinks it'll be a Widnes Featherstone £1 million game. Kevin Widnes down, London up. Darren says KR can't beat Halifax, forget them.
No.
Paul says Hull KR up, Catalan down, Hull KR up by the Fevo, London up, says Simon. Winners and Lee are a spent force and will go. The eights are working, everybody. The eights are working. Throw them in the bin. There you go, eights.
Could I pay tribute to York?
Well, you can.
We're talking about teams that have overachieved this year compared to where they were at the start of the season. York weren't even on the fixture lists when they originally came out. Not only have they finished fourth, but their promotion of their first game on Sunday against Toronto at home has been superb. A lesson even to a lot of Super League clubs. They've got little clips of video of famous people like Jamie Peacock.
Go on, you were going to say someone else then.
They've even got somebody very high up in the RFL who has endorsed this match. But it's great that
Who's endorsed it?
Mr. Wood has told us all that...
Parked his tank. He went up the A64 in his tank and went, get ready for this, lads.
But they're working with Toronto on it to make it a special occasion. I also would like to congratulate them on getting their ground development going because, again, we've looked at a couple of clubs higher up in the league that are struggling to get that, and it's so important. And
who's the two gentlemen, Mark Campbell's one of them, and who's the other gentleman at York?
John Flatman.
Yeah, John Flatman. Yeah, they've... They're doing a great job there, getting the interest and selling it, and marketing it very well, aren't they?
The crowds are up to over 1,000, which again is
marketing very well.
So I think if you're not going to watch the semi-final between Salford and Wigan, and you can get over to watch York and Toronto, I think that would be a great game and a great occasion.
And I tell you what, as well, when you look at the coach as well at York City, 96-40, is
it? Yeah, he came in here, didn't he? We've had him on here.
James. Yeah, James Ford. And when I look at the Barra coach as well, in Paul Clarion, and what I'm saying is here now, the Bradford Bulls, you know, why did they go for a British coach from there? You know, a British coach.
They had one. In Lee Beattie, and he was going to win. And all the rubbish.
He got five wins. His win percentage is better than Jeff Toovey's.
But Beattie, he was the washerman, he was a groundsman, and everything. But what I'm saying is, why have Jeff Toovey is the coach? Why not have a young British coach? You know, like Fordy from there, or Paul Clarion from Barrow, who'll give the opportunity.
Probably more job security at York or Barrow.
The coach of the Bradford Bulls. You know, it's what an absolute mess it's been for the Bulls this year. We're talking about a club who's on the up with the marketing from the two guys who have got involved in the same, in Mark Campbell and
John Flatman.
Yeah, John Flatman.
Understand the market
and the mess
that they're
Bulls are in. Eh?
Understand the market that they're in, that York is a little bit different to most rugby league places, that there's a huge catchment area in North
Yorkshire.
What did
you say about my coaching career, Richard Shaw, right?
I said you had a better win percentage than Jeff Toovey.
Thanks very much.
Compliment. You don't know what to say now.
Oh, God. What do I say now?
I'm court struck. I'm court struck. I'm lost for words. The legend's lost for words. I can't believe it.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Matt's just asked, how did your coaching career go?
Mine? 13 games, 2 victories at Huddersfield.
Better than John Keir.
And, better than John Keir, Tony Smith, Malcolm Reddy, Phil Vivas. And that's there. And then at Barrow, 5 games in charge and 3 victories. So I'll tell you what, not bad.
Oh, you were flying.
Not bad.
You were flying.
And the best.
Was that your first OBE, that one, out before Easter?
No,
or?
Do me a favour.
The best Monday club at anywhere. Where you were?
Do you know? Having said that, I know it was a Friday club. I wanted to sack one player, suspended and won a fine 3, and he blamed me for their discipline, and I got the tic tac. It was me who got the sack. Anyway.
What did he say to you when he sacked you? How did it work?
It was quite simple. He called me to his house and he said, "Scow it, it's not working." So that's it.
What did you do? Cheers, Des.
Well, I just went, thanks, got my car keys out and did the 135-mile drive home, and then went to Paddy Tavern and then had a few sherbets. Simple as that. What can you do? When you got the sack, there's no point begging for your job. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You ain't laying to any of the players at all, or do a big expose in the Barrow Times or whatever the paper's called?
No, but, well, you know, because he wasn't going to pay me, so I had to get solicitors involved, which he had to do, but, and I say I made my piece about it, you know, I got the sack because of, I wanted to sack his marquee players, wanted to sack one of them, suspend another one, and fine the other 3 players because
they'd only had 4 pints on Monday.
Didn't drink enough.
One of them, absolute disgrace, turned up for training. Everyone did train because it was whatever. And I say I wanted to set the discipline right, and he blamed me for their indiscipline, and I got the sack. There you go.
What Bradford would give for that kind of team camaraderie now.
I tell you what, we might not be able to play, but we'd have a good time.
Well, it should be different than these.
What is the answer with Bradford? In all seriousness, if they get relegated,
well, I tell you what, then what has that Chalmers and Graham Law brought to Bradford? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
What have they brought?
Nothing.
But if they do get relegated, and we have been supposedly told that they are going to be relegated, and mathematically it's only when, because they certainly can't win 7 games on the trot when they've only won 6 out of 23. It doesn't work that way in sport.
Well, they could win all 7 and still get relegated.
Yeah, exactly, because all the teams around them have got to play each other and pick up. So let's assume that the RFL are going to stick by this statement that they will be relegated. How much has been wasted in terms of potential crowd support, potential sponsor support, potential young players who have been immediately spirited off elsewhere? What a disgraceful decision that will seem to be if they go down.
What did we say? Some of us got invited to a meeting with the RFL hierarchy at the start of the season. And the first thing we said to Ralph Rimmer was, by allocating him a 12-point penalty, you are in effect relegating the Bradford Bulls. And we're told, no. We were told about this one guy who's going to go watch him at Hull Cars, never been for 20 years. No one's interested, Ralph, right? I think someone put it, you're doing it, it's death by 1,000 paper cuts, this. You're just punishing. Bearing in mind, it is a different club that they have punished with the 12 points. A lot of my family, as you know, I've stopped going, don't know what to do with them. A lot of my family have bought season tickets but have stopped going because there is no hope for the team. Now, I'll ask you this, right? If Bradford were in the top 4 of League One now, going with Toronto, Whitehaven, Barrow and or York, whoever would have missed out accordingly, the club, as Phil said, they're winning. You're watching a winning team. There's an interest from sponsors. The Bulls are on the way back.
Correct.
I mean, now all it's going to be, if they do go down, and I'd love to, and I've been assured they will go down, they're not going to do. Doom and gloom again. All the players that they've watched, the likes of, is it James Bentley, the young back rower
Ethan Ryan, who we saw the other week,
they're just going to get cherry-picked away. And you have to start again.
I think the other thing as well is that they've won 12 points in the Championship of their own merits. That 12 points, I think, in League One would equate to them at least being in the top 4. I think that they have a quality of player now that could be looking forward to getting promoted.
Yeah.
That year then is valuable.
Yeah. And as we said, all you're doing is how much more money have they poured into the club this year for nothing? They might as well not bother.
But I also think that the crowds would have held up to the same level if they'd have been in League One. The danger is that they have disenfranchised and disenchanted
real hardcore
who
supporters.
Won't go and watch them in League One. Because why do they want another year?
No, they wouldn't have this year. Yes. They'd give it a year and see how it goes.
And the Rangers thing is applicable. When Rangers were relegated, they were relegated right to the bottom. The journey started in the bottom. It didn't start in League One and then drop a division and then go back up again. It started at the very bottom.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened. And this isn't hindsight. We were saying this at the time. The RFL's answer, which they've reiterated since, is that they didn't see a club in the Championship, in League One, who could have played in the Championship.
But as that was their argument. Proved, Gareth Walker went to print. They didn't actually ask any. If that wasn't Gareth, I apologise. But that is my understanding. No one in League One was actually asked. Do you want to play in the Championship next week, lads? No one got asked. There you go. Good evening to Andy Kelly, by the way.
That's the only question I would ask is, will somebody be accountable?
Well, we'll find out, won't we? If the balls don't go down this year, well, then someone at the RFL wants sacking. That is my honest opinion.
But if they do
opinion.
Go down, somebody wants...
Well,
somebody
Brian and Barry speak for everyone who isn't a Bulls fan, and probably a lot of Bulls fans on this. Barry, if Bradford go down, it's Bradford's fault, nobody else. And Brian, why should Bradford keep getting special treatment year after year?
Agreed.
And that's what everyone thinks.
Agreed. I was just doing a shout-out to Andy Kelly and his good lady Helen, who are listening. So you're both well. Celebrity listeners now, you
Yorkshire
say.
Pros is listening as well.
He is, yeah. He likes it. He gets
captain of the UK Armed Forces team that's just come back from Australia. Mm-hmm. So that is some honour to be captain of your nation.
Well, he was slamming Sam, wasn't he?
Yeah. Gets around.
Came third.
Who's that?
The UK Armed Forces in their World Cup.
All right. Who won it?
Fiji.
Mm. Where did Australia come?
Beat them in the final.
Mm. She's always good. Fingers crossed.
Excellent. Lots of social media coming in. At RL on RY, as always. On Facebook, loads of you watching tonight. Same old thing. Please, if you're watching, listen on Facebook, give it a share. Give it a like. Let people know we're here. They can get ripped in. I know you said, I'm talking a lot about Leeds tonight. We'll talk about whatever needs talking about.
Yeah, we'll talk whatever subject needs talking about.
We're going to get ripped into Wigan after seven. Scoy went on a freebie on Friday and he didn't like it. What's happening, Rick?
A couple of various things just to give us the time before the news. Oh, there's a question for Scoy from T-Total. He says, why do you big up Moon but never mention Albert Kelly in your League Express column?
Because Joe Moon has been very much a shining light for Leeds, certainly, and that number. I have. I guess it's the Hull fans. Are they Hull fans? Are they just so one-eyed or deaf? What the legend says, to be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? I have built.
I think
Albert
it's a
Kelly,
double-edged sword, that Patrick. Because if he's nice to Albert Kelly, he won't be very nice to Mark Snead. So what do you want?
As a Maverick from there. So please do me a favour. Yeah.
Made me
it'll
laugh.
It'll be a great contest between Kelly and Joe Moon. But I just feel as though the quality of what Joe Moon has got. What I said, if he's read the column properly, Joe Moon could be the winning difference. Simple as that. Or vice versa, Albert Kelly can be. Simple as that. Mm. Do me a favour.
Let's go. Got a name check on Friday at the KCOM Stadium. After that brilliant trip I had there to watch Huddersfield and Hull, because they played the highlights of the first game they met early in the season, and he said, and Mark Snead had a great performance after coming under criticism from a certain Gary Schofield. And
is that what they put out on the telly?
Yeah.
Pathetic.
I don't like you, do they?
Pathetic. Get your nappies tuned.
Nick says, hi lads. What a job Richard Marshall has done at Halifax. Last took a 10% pay cut in November and ended up finishing third. Morel had the ball on a string yesterday. Just needs to keep his social media clean.
Agreed. Yeah, he does.
Who's
He's
that?
Old Scott Morel. Yeah.
Players, be careful.
Wow, what's Scott saying?
Something with hindsight. I would envisage if I ran the RFL, he'd be getting fined today.
A lot of players need to be...
He's retweeted something that is not... And it's got, if you're listening, you're a fool. A lot of players need to be clever.
Why?
Well, I'll show you later. You can make your own mind.
Yeah, all right. Give me something where I can say, Scott, stop doing it, or defend him. You know, I need to know,
You'll
but
say,
he's
don't
a good
stop
kid,
doing
he's a good kid.
Oh, he is. He's having his testimony as well. Wish him all the best with that.
Absolutely, yeah. Good kid. He's been a good player. Yeah.
L says, Mally Smith shouldn't come back in for Saints. Richardson is playing well, so should stay in the team. Roby played great yesterday as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jimmy says, Wakefield about to have the RFL look at the stadium issue, and lo and behold, MPs promise a new stadium soon. Always seems to be about seems to be built when a future's considered.
No,
Jimmy, you're talking rubbish.
I think you're bang out of order there, Jimmy, because Michael Carter's come out and gone, look, if we don't build it, we're going.
Where's my stadium,
so
Jimmy?
This is not a, oh, we're going to get it built next week.
My MP said last time she was going to build me a stadium. She hasn't built me a stadium yet. Where's my stadium?
Have you written a strongly worded letter?
No, I just rant on here instead. Seriously. She should be listening.
Probably more people listen on here than they would if you wrote a strongly worded letter.
Both MPs, the MP for Wakefield and the MP for Morley and Atwood are both members of the All Parliamentary Rugby League Committee, so hopefully they'll be listening to this programme and get something done.
Well, make sure you send them a link. Send them the link. Tag them in.
I will do after the show, yeah. It's a good idea, that.
Yeah.
And make sure they've got a good kitchen to make some nice cheap butties, as they've got up the Bellevue at the moment in time.
It's a Rodney Walker Megadome coming in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Yeah. 20. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We have. That's pretty much the first hour done and dusted already. We will be back with more. You know the drill by now. You want to get in touch at RL on RY. You want to get in touch on Facebook, you can do it. It's facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire. Your thoughts are more than welcome. If we don't get to you straight away, fire it back in. We will find it eventually. There are hundreds every week, hundreds of messages we have to get through. We appreciate each and every one of them. We'll be back with more after seven. I don't think Scully's got a rant this week. With John Wilkin not kicking it, Chip Butty's arriving on time. We might need to go to the RSW. I'm sure he'll have a rant about something. Maybe it might be the stadium company that look after the whole ground that turned all the ISDNs off Friday night.
I don't know. I'll just throw it out there before we go to the break. I don't think you Wigan fans are pretty happy the way Wigan are playing.
So a Wigan rant coming on from the legend. We'll be back with more after the other side of the news.
Proper sport at six. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
A bit of breaking news to start hour number two of Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire this week, and it comes from a concerned listener who says that Scoey's self-proclaimed title as King of Salford, well, I think I actually give him that, to be honest, is in danger because you've tipped Wigan up this week. You've tipped Wigan to beat Salford. You're the king of Salford, Scully. What's happening?
Well, when you look at the way that Salford have gone, certainly over the last 4 or 5 weeks. No, but what I have said, it looks like they have put all their eggs in one basket. The wheels on the Salford bus, as they say, are pretty punchy at this moment in time. So it's good. If they play for the full 18 minutes, if they bring their A game like we know they can do, certainly when you looked at the way they destroyed Wakefield in a quarter final from there, yeah, they need to bring their A game for the full 18 minutes. But the reason why I've gone for Wigan, when you look at the big match experience, and they say from there, I mean, that's what will get them through. But if Salford, they say, it says it all in the column, I'm sure he's read the column, is that they need to be nice and relaxed. You know, don't let the occasion get to them. But if they bring their A game, play for the full 18 minutes, yeah, there could be a surprise there. But I just feel as though Wigan, with the experience, what they've got all the big-name players back, then for mine, looks like they're going back to Wembley. But talking about Wigan and...
Well, just before you do...
OK.
Just before you do, I want to hold you there. I've just been made aware, and my apologies, that anyone and everyone who gets in touch with the show tonight, they retweet the show, they share the link on Facebook, in the hat, got a pair of tickets for each semi-final to give away at the weekend. Can't see any fairer
wow-wee.
Than that.
Wow.
Can't see any fairer than that,
wow-wee.
Scully.
Wow-wee.
You'll be on social media now, will you, giving us a retweet, Gary?
Wow-wee,
you will be, won't you?
I tell you, well, what a great
you'll
bloke
be,
you are.
You'll be the king of Salford. What you might win two free tickets to go on Salford
bloke.
Lose to Wigan.
What a great bloke you are, Matt Wilson. What a great bloke
don't
you
worry,
are.
Don't worry, I'm not paying for him.
Well, that's not surprising.
Richard is.
That's not surprising. But anyway, yeah, let's go, go on about Wigan for a few minutes now, to be honest with you. And, I'm talking here now, yeah. I was at the game on Friday night, and we all know there's only going to one thing that happened. Wigan were going to win the game, and it's a matter of how many. And when I was talking to the Wigan fans before the game, at half-time, and also to at full-time, certainly before the game, you know, everybody was predicting a score, 48, 54, 16, everybody wasn't disagreeing, you know, but boy, oh boy, even sat in the stand, and then at half-time, and then at full-time, the Wigan fans, they were absolutely furious that the way and the style what Wigan are playing. And I just want to pick up on one point here. And it was laughable. And I was literally laughing to myself when I was seeing Wigan going for the repeat sets on the second, third, or sorry, yeah, maybe second and third at time, but certainly on the third and fourth tackle, going for repeat sets when they're 10 and 15 metres out, conceding ground, having drop outs there and getting the ball back 50 yards. And then also another point, there were seven players who kicked the ball to get these repeat sets in Sam Tompkins, Powell, Luluai, Williams, Lachlan, Gelling and McLaurin. Doesn't that tell you they haven't got really, from a point of view, a go-to man? Like, as we know, like Casper had with Gale, Salford had with Dobson or a Louis, and the others that are, say, Leeds there now, with Moon, and you look at Hull there, with Kelly or Steve, having said that, yeah, he doesn't create a lot. But what I'm saying is about Wigan. Speaking on behalf of their supporters, is they're absolute dire. They are absolute dire, and I say, Leeds at times, yeah, the enthusiasm defence was okay, but Wigan at times are absolutely clueless in attack. And what Wigan are finding hard to do is breaking teams down when they are 25, 30 metres away, and that's why they've been desperate by putting the goal in the in-goal area there for repeat sets. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Wigan fans, they were absolutely balled off, Mark, Phil and Richard, on Friday night with that performance. Were they happy about the 2 points? Maybe. But certainly what they saw their side play on Friday night, they were absolutely balled off from there. And Salford, if you bring your A game defensive-wise, and certainly bring your A game attack-wise, you have a chance of getting yourself to Wembley for the first time since 1969, Phil, is it?
I think something like that.
But Wigan, boy oh boy, absolute clueless.
The one thing that Ian Watson will be clinging to, in the fact, even though Salford are in poor form since the quarter-final win, what, they've lost six out of the last seven?
Yeah.
Is the fact that he will be able to see some vulnerabilities in Wigan. Not least their inability to score a lot of points. Mm. The number of times that the lead runner went behind his own players looking for anyone to make an angle or a dummy runner. They are powerful, there's absolutely no doubt. Tony Clubb's hit on Jamie Jones Buchanan sums up the way they like to play. But is that going to be enough? If Salford can hang in there early on... But if they can score early as well, I can't see Wigan chasing a game at the moment, because I don't know where points are going to come from.
What did you think as well? Because I saw it myself, yeah, and I were laughing to myself, you know, looking at these repeat sets. But what did you think about how they played, Phil?
I found it
astonishing, to be honest.
What I thought, looking at the respective team sheets, is that Wigan would just try and keep the ball in play as much as they could and move the ball about. But what they allowed a young and enthusiastic Leeds team to do was commendably defend their own line, because they kept just throwing people one up at them. Mm. And there wasn't enough diversion for the Leeds defence. It stood its ground well. It stayed solid for as long as it could. It pulled off one-on-one tackles, because that's all it was being asked to do. There wasn't enough... not even so much dummy runners, but the defender knew exactly who to pick. Mm. Tom Briscoe came inside about three times and easily stopped an attack because he'd read it so well. And that would be the worry for me, that Wigan don't have variety anymore in attack. They're predictable to read, they're strong, they're fit, but is that enough?
But also, as well, another big talking point where the Wigan fans were... again, I'm talking on behalf of the Wigan fans here. This is what they were saying to me. This is not me, really. So, yeah, I know exactly the way Wigan were playing from there. But what I'm talking on behalf of the Wigan fans here is they don't believe the combination between Williams and Luluai is being beneficial to the side. And if I'm honest with you, I've got to agree, George Williams needs a partner in crime who can take that pressure off, do the organisation from there and there, let George just, as I keep saying, plot around the field. When he's ready to come in with that champion player, that creativity, that's what he needs. But for mine, he's not getting it from Luluai.
Who have they got? And Luluai was never going to provide that. How do they change it?
Well, they can't, can they? Because they haven't got
anybody, have they? Because Luluai effectively is a backup hooker these days, and yet Sam Powell is the backup hooker.
Yeah.
So you're trying to fit square pegs into round holes all the time. Unless you maybe move Sean O'Loughlin to six and George William at seven, but...
That's never going to work.
It's going backwards rather than forwards.
It's totally backwards, because he's not a number six, is at O'Loughlin, but also, too, what you do there, if you put George at number seven, you tie him up too close to the hook area. George needs to be playing second man out there so he gets more space and more time.
What was your opinion of Sam Tompkins? Because now I think we're seeing Sam at what Sam is going to be. He's had, a month now back in the team. Do you think he poses the same threat that he did? And
simple answer, no. Doesn't. No, doesn't. But, and I say, you Salford fans, hey, listen, we're all entitled to an opinion, but all I'm saying here is...
When you're
Salford
king
fans,
of the you know, the place, you've got indeed. A lead by example score.
I am, but listen, what I'm saying is...
You should be calling on all your followers to go out of the game
and whip up
a frenzy.
So Salford fans on Sunday, let's get there. Let's get there, those Salford fans from there. As I've said, if Salford bring their A game for 80 minutes, defence-wise, attack-wise, they can get themselves back to Wembley for the first time in 69. There you go.
And in some respects, with the greatest respect to Wigan, and particularly Sean Wayne, who I know is, you know, the silverware he's bought to Wigan...
He loves the Challenge Cup as well, does Wayne. Absolutely.
The Challenge Cup actually needs Salford to win, because it has lost its romance, no matter what people say. And I think what's kept it going for the last few years is obviously Cass getting there in 2014, all the fans that they took down and the noise and the colour that they made. Hull KR, irrespective of the result, how it turned out, was a wonderful day out for the club. Hull not only hadn't been there for 10 years, but actually to win at Wembley, there were stories. I think if it's a Wigan, either Hull or Leeds final, it becomes just another Super League game and is only of interest to the fans of those clubs. There's no neutral buy-in. The game needs Salford to be at Wembley.
A couple of people talking about Wigan with some interesting points. Alex says they need a control of the game, the same mould as what Matty Smith was last year, was, of course, allowed to leave the club. Mm-hmm. And Els, who is a Saints fan, says Wigan's attack has regressed since Paul Deacon left. Two lateral, not enough dummy runners in between offloads, and too predictable.
Fair enough. What do you make of that, Scully? Too predictable? You agree with that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And as I say, this is what Wigan fans are saying. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. So, and also, what Sean has been saying over the last few weeks, we know what's in this dressing room, and we know what we're going to get and what is coming out of the dressing room. It's about time now we need to see it, because it's not from us to say, because we're not Wigan fans. But I tell you what, the Wigan fans need to see it, because if not, it could be an empty season for the Cheering Whites.
As Bob points out, the competition may need Salford to win, but do the RFL want them to win? Because, of course, how many will Salford be taking to Wembley for the final against?
Well, by the same token, more neutrals may go if they feel they've got somebody to support. In the same way that everybody said that when Catalan played St Helens, and the crowd exceeded expectations because a lot of the neutrals went to see Catalan play at the new Wembley.
Well, lots of comments on many various different things. Michael, he's just going back to something we said about before, news about Bradford. He says he's a Bulls fan, would have been happy, very happy starting the lower league with no special favours, just like all other teams. The support would have been there, and in the top four or five, as you rightly said. But no, the RFL thought otherwise. Blackpool comes to mind with their support base with Hull KR. A couple of people have brought up Blackpool in the summer bash and having Bradford there or not there. Well, they could have got there in the League One Cup. If they'd won some games, of course. A couple of questions for Scully. Indirectly. John says, well, I'd like to know what the legend is you called Scully. No, John, that's what he calls himself.
Come on, John, get with the script, son.
Hold on, John, hold on. Everywhere I go, everybody calls me the legend.
Do me a favour.
You always call me the legend.
That's because,
we've been trained.
We had this thing 6 months ago or so where you would not speak. You ring me up on the phone and you go, legend. And I feel like saying, Gary, I know that because your name, Gary, comes up when you ring me up. That's how mobile phones work. And you went, I'm not speaking to you until you call me the legend. And then we had about 3 days where you'd ring me up and I wouldn't speak to you. And then we just carried on. So you demand that people call you the legend.
I don't demand at all.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I'm the legend. Right, carry on, Rich.
What do you think about the in the scrum where teams put the ball in and hold it for a penalty?
It's cheating. It's cheating.
Danny Maguire, whose team do this...
cheating.
He thinks it's bang out of order.
It is. It's bang out of order. It's cheating, so stop it. Simple as that.
And, you'll be asking about diving next.
Well... No, hang on. Denny says, did any of them present to see the Oscar-winning performance by the Swinton winger copying the footballers? Should be banned, he says.
Well read. I think I retweeted it earlier. Yeah, I don't know if you have a look.
It is.
There's like a... the Bradford player almost goes to slap him round the face and it looks like he misses. Yeah. The Swinton guy then thinks... Hang on, he just tried to hit me then. Puts his hand on his face and then, like, falls over like he's fainted.
Why not?
Remember on I'm a Celebrity, was it Gillian McKee? had to do that that live trial, and she fainted live on the TV. Like, no one ever expected that to happen. It was shocking. Honestly, it was terrible.
Never saw it.
Should get banned, bringing the game into disrepute.
Contrary behaviour.
I agree.
Contrary behaviour, exactly.
Like, a bit like Kevin Leroy.
Speaking of
bands. Could be in trouble, old Kevin, there.
Well, he's got a grade C, hasn't he?
Grade C, yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know, when I flattened Marmon Ingram, he never took a dive. I wonder why not. He never took a dive.
He never felt it.
Right, you know what, if you hadn't mentioned that, Scott, I wouldn't know you've ever played against him.
I'll do the funnies, Phil.
Speaking of
I'll tell you what, here's a question for the listeners at home, right? And if you've not seen how the Leroy incident went, this is a thought. Should Kevin Leroy get banned, or should his opponent, who he injured, be allowed to inflict the same injury on him? What do you reckon?
Well, think
Vinnie Jones against Gaza.
Yeah, you remember
that?
Think along those
lines.
Oh, right.
So should he get banned?
Hey, listen,
or should he be, should it be allowed to be?
I've had it done a few times, and I tell you what, it does bring water to your eyes.
Yeah, but you do insist on going drinking in the Parnaby Tavern, don't you?
Where it's a bar game.
I'll tell you another story. What I did, well, it started with Vinnie Joe Liner, but it's not for radio. It's not for radio.
Yeah, for listeners on the podcast. by the way, if you are listening on the podcast and you do, Dom always he listens every week and he tweets us in as though he's listening live, which is brilliant. He said one week he will listen live. You can also get into the hat. It's, what do you say, 11 o'clock
noon on Wednesday.
You can win a pair of tickets.
Which one you want to go to.
By the way, I've just had a text message from my daughter. She's applied for the tickets, so...
Well, she can't win.
Friends and family, innit? Terms and conditions apply. Terms and conditions.
No, they do.
Oh, no.
You've got to be in to win.
Hey, Tell Danielle, don't worry, because Leeds haven't filled their allocation. She'll be able to buy one tomorrow.
Not after Blue Peter and all that stuff with the cat. You know, you've got to be careful these days.
Hang on. No, we better move on. We can't even joke about these things.
Speaking of people being banned, serious topic, Music Max says, I can't believe Lee even dared to appeal Acton's ban. I hope they go down now, says Music. Well, I can't judge a Hulk.
Interesting that Derek Beaumont came out after and said it was wholly unacceptable, but at the time tried to defend it.
Mm. They were talking about the severity of the grading. No, just take the punishment. It was shocking.
Yeah.
You can't condone that.
Is it enough? I mean, they've extended it, which I think is
probably... The extension now to finish him for the season is probably right.
Okay. Yeah, Scotty, you were calling for a 12-month ban, but he got 4 years...
12 months for mine. Yeah. What stops it? Simple as that. There's no room for in it in the game whatsoever. 12 months for mine.
And it doesn't matter. You were talking about Greg Bird and how horrible he is sometimes to play against. You cannot do what
Jamie Acton
did.
No, you cannot do it. No way, mate. You've got to leave it to the right and proper people. Yeah. It's as simple as that. It is.
Eric, you've put a tweet out saying you can win the tickets to the semi-final. Eric says, how do we contact you? Eric, you've just done it.
Yeah.
You've just done it. You're in. You're in now,
I've replied and told him he's in.
That's how easy it is.
Yeah, give us a clue which game you'd like to see.
Yeah.
Because you're called Windy Rhino, we've got an idea you'd like to see Salford Wigan, but apart from just let us know.
RLNRY.
I've applied for my two tickets, but we're not allowed them.
No. You're working.
Part of the Hall of Fame.
You can go for free if you want.
We're not allowed them because it's not an RFL game. It's for all the clubs, so we're not part of the Hall of Fame.
If you can't sort out your lovely daughter two tickets,
I've tried to do. We've been a Hall of Fame.
You get in free everywhere. You must, because you don't pay anyway.
I'm just telling you. You know, I text Nigel himself, and Nigel explained to me. Did he ask
you about the show? I've put in another request this week for Big Nine.
He texts me back and he says it's the Challenge Cup, the semi-final, it's for the four clubs, it's their gates, you know, so we don't get the tickets being part of the Hall of Fame.
So we'd rather have some empty seats than people...
Than people who have contributed to the sport. Who have played the greatest game of all and, you know, a couple of tickets and can't get them. There you go.
Apparently, according to Aaron Bauer... The Parliament are behind the Wakefield Stadium now, so there's no chance of it ever getting back. Fingers crossed. Other things on social media. Elsis, what do you think about Cass receiving the shield after 30 games? But we all thought the season ended yesterday.
Of course it has to be after 30 games. The season continued for the top eight. they are now playing for the right to finish top of the league after 30 games. It's not after 23 games. It becomes a different competition then. It's the same competition. It's just who you play in those 7 games. And Castleford, there was an interesting point raised. In fact, Twitter was ablaze this morning with the usual debate about the value or otherwise of the league leader shield and how do we make it mean more. Well, the first thing is we've demeaned it by calling it the hubcap.
Well, it is.
No, it's the league leader shield, and whoever wins that after 30 rounds...
What does it mean then, Phil?
It means they've finished top of the league.
And
Castleford,
what does it mean?
In their history, have never finished top of the league. It meant a lot to Huddersfield when they won it. First trophy for 80-odd years. Yep. Meant a lot when Leeds won it in 2015 to be part of a treble and the manner in which they won it. Meant a lot to Warrington to win it in 2016, who was still then in search of breaking the 60
are
years.
Are they still classed as champions?
No, it's a third trophy. In the days when you had the Lancashire Cup, the Yorkshire Cup, the Regal Trophy, the Floodlit... This is recognition. It's recognition of... Firstly, it should be a trophy worth winning in terms of its size, not something that could have been picked off a...
Is there any financial reward for winning it?
Yes, it's £100,000, but it should be £500,000. And the other thing that people have said that I absolutely agree with, the winner of the League Leader Shield should be straight into the World Club Challenge.
I agree with that.
And if Castleford knew after 30 rounds, irrespective of whether they made it to Old Trafford or not, the biggest game they were ever going to have at the Jungle was coming up the following February when they were playing whoever it might be, Sydney Roosters, then I think the League Leader Shield takes on something that is worth winning. At the moment, while we ever call it the hubcap and demean it, it isn't. The problem that we've got with the World Club Challenge, which is a separate issue, is how can two clubs be playing in Australia at the start of next year and it not be part of the World Club
Challenge?
I'm
with you on that, though. I've said that before. 23 games, you are playing for the World Club Championship.
Or, after 20...
And you get a bumper payday as well.
After 23 games, you have done nothing other than determine your fixture list. And if nothing else, the team that finishes first plays at home to the team that finishes second. So that's what you're playing for. It's a bit like the Grand Prix. You have pole position on the grid, but the real race between the top 8 teams starts now. At the end of that race, if you've still won it, you get the garland, you get the champagne, you get the £500,000, you get the trophy, you get the right to play the Australian champions at your place, or at least an Australian team as part of the World Club Challenge, if we ever decide what the format for that tournament is. But if you could say at the... end of September to every Castleford fan, you are coming back here in the middle of February to play an Australian team in a meaningful game. That season has already been worthwhile.
Told you, Phil Kaplan should be the RFL marketing guru.
But the other thing, we talk...
Should be the marketing guru.
The other thing, we talk about events. The only thing we're going to get a crowd to is events. Therefore, the last minute of the last game on the last night in a full stadium is your event, and that's the grand final at Old Trafford. You have to keep that.
Where would Cass play the World Club? They couldn't play at the Jungle, could they?
They could play it wherever they liked. They could move it to...
They'd have to do, Mark, wouldn't they? How can they take it away from there?
I'm thinking gate-wise, they could make a lot more money elsewhere.
Yeah, where are they going to go? Where was the nearest ground?
I don't know. Ellen Road? Maybe. Just thinking.
Even Doncaster would give them 1.5 times.
Maybe Doncaster.
Yeah. But yes, it's corporate money.
And the other thing about it is a lot of neutrals go to those games. Yeah, so you do want to take it to the biggest
thing. I think they would go watch.
I would. I'd love to see
Cass
against Sydney Roosters or Melbourne. Why wouldn't you?
Without a doubt. Bring it on. Bring it on. That's what I say.
Yeah.
But will Cass, and I just want to...
Well, they're in the semi-finals already.
They're in the semi-finals already, but again, it just brought a different dimension to their performance, didn't it, on Saturday against Catalans. And they say, 14-0 up, Catalans got themselves back into the game, but I tell you what, there was one player for mine who came of age on Saturday, that was Paul McShane. He came of age as a player, and I know we've all talked about how Luke Gayle, how he plots and the pressure what he puts on the opposition. Benny Roberts at times takes the pressure off Gayle, so does Millington. Shenton, as I say, from a captain leadership point of view. But I just felt as though McShane, on Saturday night, he came of age not just a quality player, but he's got to be a shoo-in now for the England squad come World Cup time.
I thought there were 8 defining minutes for Castleford. The worry as they get into this stage of the season is they don't have to win every week. How do they keep their intensity up? With 8 minutes of that game to go, they were behind. and Paul Ait knocked on halfway, and the way that they composed themselves, they didn't try and score on every play, the way that they were cool, the way that everybody knew what they were doing, the way they set up Hitchcock for his incredibly
unbelievable
athletic try.
Unbelievable. I think Matty Merrick got the pick. What a picture that is. What a picture.
But then it didn't stop there. They knew that there'd be a short kickoff from Catalan. They dealt with that. They won a penalty on the back of that. Last tackle play, no panic, going in the corner, kill the game off. That 8 minutes, I think, says everything about Castleford at the moment. They didn't have to win that game, but the manner in which they went about winning it, that stands them in great stead.
I tell you what, as well, 3 months ago, when Castleford absolutely hammered him in the Challenge Cup, I tell you what a mouth-watering fixture that would be if it was Castleford and St Helens down at the Jungle, because the way Saints are playing now, certainly we, you know, what I saw yesterday, that would be an absolute belter. What are you two laughing at?
Well, I want you to have a look at this. Go around to Richard's computer and have a look at this picture.
I'm going to say on this picture, Scully's hair is the least worst of this lot.
This is this picture.
That's 1989,
no? 80s round coming up in Australia. No. I've seen them plugging
it. Well, that's a shocking
Who's are these purple pants?
That's Andy Currier. It's a Pearl, Andy Currier, a Fire, Ten Bellies, Hugh Waddell, Joe Lydon, Sean Edwards and the legend.
Look Joe Lydon's hair. Joe Lydon's hair and jeans are shocking.
Joe Lydon looks like he's in black lace.
Look at Ellery's. Has he got some...
He's got Kim Kardashian's backside.
He has.
What's going on?
He has.
Where you got that from?
Twitter.
Someone sent it in.
Yeah.
Tell you what, there's some quality there, isn't there? Hey, do you know what? Do you know the common denominator apart from maybe you Waddell didn't start well there on Ten Bellies and also to my Rabunin. Do you know what all the rest of them? We all started, we all first team footballers at 18 years of age. Hey, boom, boom.
It was a different sport.
Boom, boom. It's a different sport. It's a game of rugby league. You catch, pass, tackle and support.
It's as simple as that. We
were all 18 years of age and we were all internationals come 19. Do you know why? Because the coaches played us in the right positions and they believed in our ability. There you go.
Wayne has come in with a very good tweet.
Why not play the World Club Championship games all at the same stadium on the day, with the final team with final game being to crown the best team?
Brilliant. Magic.
Newcastle, take it to Newcastle.
No, why not?
Whatever, it doesn't matter. That is an event that people would go to.
Of course they would. Newcastle.
Fair enough. Thank you for that.
Or Main Road, or even.
It's a better night out in Newcastle, isn't it?
That's not why the majority of people go, Gary.
Even the Emirates.
They want to go to an event and then a nice event after. There you go.
That would be perfect at the Emirates Stadium, where all of the Australian and New Zealand fans of rugby league who live down in the south of England could come to the game. You get 65,000 sell out there if you played all three games.
Yeah.
Provided you marketed it more than 2 weeks before it was due to happen.
I think a lot of people have been in touch about marketing and lack of...
Yeah, we've had a few questions about various things. James has brought up the World Cup, which is coming up, which is good, because I wanted to mention something about this myself and I've forgotten about it. Has anyone seen any promotional or advertising material promote the Rugby League World Cup? I haven't seen anything, not even on Premier Sports, let alone the BBC. Well, they won't do anything for a while. Sky, national newspapers, etc. Well, Sky won't, because they haven't got the rights. And that's not what they do. I wouldn't be wise to promote this competition, even if for the RFL the main focus is 2021. Obviously, the World Cup's been held in Australia and various other places. I know that the TV rights deals with Premier and the BBC. England games are going to be on the BBC and highlights. But I've just spent the last week being able to watch.
Here you go.
Live on.
Here we go.
Oh, there you go.
It's a cup behind me, Baldwin, second supporters, glory days, there we go, can we get that on camera? There we go, no, get the League Express, glory days.
We'll get an invoice sent in to you.
There you go, glory days, Gary Scoville, Brett Kenny, where are the ambassadors for it? I think we've got about 140, 150 speckies on it. There you go, the World Cup, come and join the legend, and Brett Kenny.
Apart from Scully's trick. For the last week on the BBC website, I could watch every single game of the Lacrosse World Cup.
No one
in this country knows what lacrosse is, can spell it, or cares about it. When the World Cup comes around, how much have Premier paid for the rights? About four bob apenny. Every single game of the World Cup should be free on the BBC website. I can't find anywhere where the deal has been made and it explains what's happening, bar we'll see the England games on BBC Two or whatever. Every single game should be available free for people
to watch. What is interesting is that in 2021, when the World Cup is back here, that is exactly what's going to happen.
Good.
that the BBC are covering every one of the 31 games on various different platforms. Mm. Some may be digital, some may be Red Button, some may be BBC 25 or whatever. But the BBC have pledged that they will be showing every one of the 31 games.
I can fully understand when Sky have got the rights to whatever, that they don't want to give things away for free. Premier Sports cannot be paying millions and millions of pounds for rights to the 2017 World Cup.
There's a lot of people saying that there have been ads on Premier Sport.
Oh, there you go then. So that's good news for those people.
But I would argue, but those people who watch Premier Sport are probably big rugby fans
anyway. The Rugby League World Cup 2017 company have produced a really good advert. It's about a minute 40 seconds. It's called You Don't Know Me. I would encourage people to look it up. Put in RLWC 2017. It's a really good promotional video. That has been on Premier.
And one of the things we've seen this summer with the two major cricket tournaments and the test matches of now, on the BBC website, they pretty much show the clips as soon as they've happened, so it's pointless having a TV subscription because you can see what happened afterwards. That, they've got to do that. The NRL do it during the competition. I'm sure the NRL will, the World Cup will do it as well, where the clips are already out there on social media within minutes of things happening. And again, that needs to be backed up by, and it has to be the BBC because they're the rights holders to the competition. We've got to work with our broadcasters to get people interested in this competition.
What, apart from live streaming warm-up matches ourselves?
Otherwise, we can just, you know.
Come on.
Mm. And as someone's mentioned earlier, and I should mention this as well, I think it was Pete earlier, the Women's Challenge Cup finals this weekend. Bradford Bolton for their first ever piece of silverware. I don't know if the women's team have ever won anything before, but a new club. Taking on Featherstone Rovers. I think it's at Huworth in York on Sunday.
Nice.
So get yourself down there for that on Sunday. Because the Rugby Football Union are stopping funding the women's team as full time professionals. So. Should go poach some.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, as Chris says, we're now advertising the World Cup. But they haven't paid us to do it, though.
No, but we are open.
But I would like to see every single game available for people to watch, because if they can do it with lacrosse, and again, there's no interest in lacrosse.
Part of the issue will be the time of the games over here. Some will be early in the morning. And obviously, they're not going to send television crews out to PNG. You're going to have to take a feed from the local.
That's all they do anyway. That's fine.
Yeah. But no, I think Premier have shown some initiative to get the games. And
I can see next week we're going to get a strongly worded letter from a lacrosse fan like we did about this when you abuse Speedway the other week.
At least I understand people know that Speedway exists, but lacrosse come. When I saw it on there, I thought, jeez, are we going to Super League shows at 3:30 in the morning and lacrosse is live on the BBC website? But
tell you what as well, guys, just looking here for the League Express, Kieran Cunningham linked maybe going to Widnes. That's an interesting one, isn't it?
Another reason they should be kicked out of Super League. Sorry.
An interesting one, isn't it? Eh?
Is it?
I'm laughing because it is interesting. Why would Kieran want to go to Widnes?
Relay the pitch? Is he a carpet fitter now?
As an assistant coach, why would he want to go to Widnes? That's the question I'm asking. Yeah. Move on.
I think the stunned silence tells you everything you need to know.
All right.
I'm sure he has something to offer in the coaching department.
I'm sure he does.
Speaking of...
Might be a drive one. Not that cheeky little laugh there. Little snigger.
Here's Neville. What do the panel think about foreign teams in the English League? Down with them, all these things. We could have two French teams in Toronto in the Championship. Nigh on impossible for fans of English sides to travel. Trying to expand the game in some sense. Toronto game crowds of 7,000. However they're doing it, by pretending there's a big beer festival.
The one thing that they did that was really good was they have convinced the Canadian public that this is two competitions.
Yes.
That they have finished 15-0... and won the regular season, and they're now in a different competition. And to sell it that way to a new audience, brilliant. If that's getting 7,000 people in there for matches, again, that everybody knows they're going to win before they kick off, fine, I don't have a problem with that. But it could be a really interesting championship
next
year.
Just imagine if they'd have been in the Championship and Bradford Bulls would have been in
League
One.
Well, I don't think they could have done that because of the way they have to play their fixtures in blocks. That would have been difficult to arrange. But can you imagine next year if in the Championship is Toulouse, Catalan in a worst-case scenario, Toronto, London? that's going to be the expansion division. You know, but nobody will know about
and
it.
And you know when you say about, oh, it's been hard because they have to play them in blocks, all it would have meant, Phil, is saying, oh, well, actually, instead of you going, them coming to you, you're going to have to go there then, and then they'll come to you there. And
it takes would sort a bit it all out. It takes a bit of organising.
It does. Not impossible, though, is it? Not impossible. No.
It happens in other sports, I'm told.
Who'd have thought?
When Rangers got relegated, wasn't it? I mean, Richard will know this because he Rangers. Follows football. Wasn't it about 2 or 3 weeks before the season was due to start?
I think it was late on, wasn't it?
It was late. But it planned. Was accommodated.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
yeah. Move on.
Yeah, well, just the last thing on TV. Chris says Sky need to throw at least one of the qualifying eights per round, which I think they are doing, aren't they?
Yeah,
I think they will.
They have done it in previous years. And allow Premier Sports to show the League One qualifiers, since they have no interest in it or probably don't even realise it exists. I think the problem with that, Chris, is people in League One don't go watch League One games. Then you expect a TV company to show those games.
We've been having a chat about this, haven't we, before we came on air tonight. Just let me run you through the crowds in the Championship, just for an example this week. 3,291 at Bradford, that is on the slide, that's been up at 4,000 all year. 794 at Dewsbury. 2,876 at Halifax for their biggest,
for the
game,
biggest game in year.
Of the season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
879
when
at London.
Would have taken a few as well.
889 at Oldham. 2,417 at Toulouse.
For again, a game they had to win.
Yeah. Now, Sky get a lot of stick, but they do have costs.
Yeah,
And in an ever competitive market where they're fighting for viewers on everything, they don't have money to throw at this anymore.
Sky are a commercial organisation. First and foremost, they are there to make money for their shareholders. And however you film it, depending on the number of cameras, mix of vans, staff that you send down there, the minimum to film an outside broadcast of around about 90 minutes of live action is £20,000 at a conservative estimate. Sky would tell you that they will not get that £20,000 back on the Championship games because the audience is not there and the commercial partners are not there. So I think that it's understandable to some extent why they don't film Championship matches. What isn't understandable is why they couldn't do highlights programme, and what again isn't understandable is why the rights for that competition would be part of a package that was sold, other than the eights is deemed, that the qualifying teams coming up from the Championship is deemed to be part of the regular season, so they have to have the rights to that part of the division that is going to be playing in the eights. I don't know if it's common knowledge, and I'm not even sure Sky would want it to be, but somebody very high up in Sky did say to me that they made an offer to the Championship teams to film one of their games every week, provided it was at the ground of a Super League match that was being played that weekend, which would immediately cut down on production costs. So if, for example, Halifax and Hull KR were prepared to move that game yesterday from the Shea to Wigan on Friday night and kick off at 6 o'clock, Sky would have filmed it and shown it. Now, I don't know what time they would have shown it, I don't know what channel they would have shown it on, but it's not that they're averse to showing Championship games, it's that it has to have a commercial reality attached to it.
Mm. I think it should be on. I think what they should do, though, is if they're not going to do it, they should say, right, if someone wants to do the old one camera or two camera angles, and maybe even have someone there doing the commentary or whatever.
I think what the BBC did with the early rounds of the Challenge Cup is the way you could do it, because you're not selling it as a state-of-the-art multi-camera facility. What you're doing is saying, we'll have a highlights programme, maybe on a Monday night, of all the Championship action. You will see it come in perhaps on club video footage, you'll see it perhaps come in on setting up at one camera, so it won't be multi-angle, but what we will have in the studio is some people that can discuss the Championship action, we can put it into context, and then when the eights come along, you understand who some of these players are, you know who the teams are, you've got an idea of how they may play. So I think that there is a case for a Rugby League Raw type programme that features less high quality footage but gives you a feel for the division.
And you're not going to criticise, you work here, you work with us here, you know, you're a volunteer for large purposes, but you come in, you saw the work that Tom did last week on the old Fish and Chip Challenge. You can watch it at the end of this, by the way.
Brilliant.
You saw what went into it and how quickly it was turned around, and we did offer to do something, and it just never came back to us.
To be fair to Tom, there was a huge amount of footage that he could have used, but he gets the best 8 minutes. And That's what I'm saying. That if the only thing I perhaps could criticise Sky for was that they haven't had the they may not want to do magazine style programmes anymore. They don't seem to do them on any sport. But with owning the rights to the championship, it wouldn't have been on beyond the realms of possibility to have a highlight show.
Yeah. That if it wasn't on the BBC, would it could have had a you can watch all the gate or whatever Super League live on Sky. You'd be almost promoting themselves. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we move.
I've got some questions for Scully. Steve's asked if you'd ever go back into coaching.
No,
there you go.
And Danny paid too much here.
Danny says, and this is again going back to the World Cup. So get.
Well, there is slightly less chance of him getting sacked. Here. I say slightly; he's getting close. We're about to give him the vote of confidence.
But what I would like to do, Phil Kaplan mentioned it earlier. Yeah, I'd like to be a halfbacks coach. Yeah, that's what I want to do. But I've mentioned it to a couple of people. I'm not going to mention the clubs who I've mentioned it to, but the both people have said, well, unfortunately, Scully, coaches won't allow it. Coaches won't allow how you want to mentor halfbacks how to play the game. Coaches will not allow it, so it's never going to happen.
But what you could do is you could run talent identification camps outside of the professional game on behalf of the RFL.
I'd be delighted to do that. Absolutely delighted. Will the RFL do it?
Spend money on development.
Correct. Absolutely.
And nothing else.
Absolutely.
Before I ask you the question about the World Cup, Ian's reminding me. And I forgot to ask you this on extra time yesterday. The water carriers for St Helens.
No, boy, oh boy.
I've got a question. This
is the return of Gary Mercer.
I was listening to this. How soon, right? I want odds on how soon, because I've seen it. Warrington and another one. And the guy's pulling the guy in the defensive line. You go there.
Sure.
How long before one of them makes a tackle?
Well, it's going to happen.
Because what he'll do, he'll be behind the player and he'll say, well, he can't get him, so I'm just going to trip over and make sure he falls. It's an absolute joke, and it needs stopping. It needs stopping because, again, it's cheating and it's bringing the game into disrepute. It's an absolute joke.
It's not like kids' games, is it, where kids need to know where to be told to stand because they don't know. But these are full-time professionals.
Oh, yeah, but I say, he would just literally say, hey, you get here, you get there, this is where they're coming. Look, he was just coaching at the back of it. It needs stopping.
With Sean Johnson and Jonathan Thurston struggling for the World Cup, do you think we may have a chance? We've been undone by a world-class player in recent years. Could this be our year? That's Danny. You think
well, did anybody watch the State of Origin a couple of weeks ago? A young kid called Munster. A young kid called Munster from Melbourne.
Oh, well.
Cooper Cronk's
playing out of position.
Cameron Smith's going to be there. Billy Slater's back to his best.
Well, not at the minute. He's not. He got floored at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he'll be up and running with Billy. Don't worry about that. So, as I say, will we beat Australia the first game in Melbourne? I'll be there. I might be a bit jet lagged and had a couple of schooners on the way, but I'm there for the first game. So if we beat Australia in the first opening game in Melbourne, then it makes it easier for us. But if we don't, we've got to go to Auckland in the semi-final, and New Zealand are always far better on home soil. So unfortunately for this year, well, I'm not going to harp on about it too much because we're not nowhere near it yet, but it all depends on Wayne Bennett picks. If he wants to pick a side that's play off the cuff, pick the players in the right position, let us play what we see. We've an opportunity to beat New Zealand and we've an opportunity to get to the final.
Chris McQueen's injured.
Good. Do you know what as well?
If you're listening.
Good. And also as well, and I saw it yesterday, you know, like Wayne Bennett said, we don't have any fringe back rowers. I tell you what, the way that Matty Ashurst comes onto ball, he wouldn't look out of place as a back row player. He's far better than that McQueen, and far better than the other one.
Hyington.
Far better than him. I just don't understand it. You know, he wouldn't look out of place.
Plays for Wakefield, mate. It's unfashionable.
You know, he wouldn't look out of place in England jersey. Coming onto a lovely short ball from a Luke Gale or a George Williams or a Gareth Widdop. You know, but it all depends on Wayne Bennett, the sort of style. If we play anything like we did last year in the Four Nations, then we'll get beat in the semi-final. But if we let the players play him in the right position, let Luke Gale loose rather than play him on the right side and don't be going anywhere else, Luke, you know, which was pathetic. But, we have a chance. But you can't rule out Australia because they unearthed some talent again in the State of Origin series, didn't they?
Do we know if the Doc got back to Hull all right last night? Because obviously he wasn't allowed to drive.
Oh, no, I heard about it. He was going on holiday, wasn't he, at the weekend?
He was going on holiday this morning. He was flying out of Manchester to Mercia, but we had a great conversation before the game kicked off yesterday, and I said to the Doc, I said, what do you reckon, Doc? Do you think Wilkin will kick the ball today? He went, odds on, no danger. I went, oh, well, I said, what do you reckon, first or second half? He said, he'll just kick the ball. He says, if he doesn't kick the ball, I'll walk home.
And he didn't.
Hopefully. Hopefully,
Justin Albrook getting his message across.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, the doc. Well, I guess we should be a little bit.
Probably being quicker to watch it to Manchester, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it might be about the Goole area, but yeah, Justin Albrook. Well, he's been listening to Legend and say, listen, stop John Wilkie kicking the ball. But I tell you what, as I said it at the start of the show, that Wilkie yesterday was a quality rugby league player. He was. He was quality.
Good news from the wheelchair rugby league World Cup is we've stuffed Australia. Go on,
go on the lads.
8-26. Come on.
8-26?
Yeah.
80?
Yeah. That's not uncommon in wheelchair rugby league.
So I've seen some big scores there.
So but good. It's the French we need to worry about. Yeah. The, the French.
Well, obviously, Wayne Bennett won the culture.
No, it was playing. The French are the favourites.
Our lads must have been in Dubai then.
It must have been. Must have had a big warm-up.
They're only
camp.
Going to France.
No, but they need to get prepared.
They need to get prepared.
They're good enough for our lads.
You can get jet lag going to France.
Hey, I tell you what, though, seriously.
It's a fantastic
before I worked at another station, we had a couple of lads in that had been picked to play.
So, well,
is, you know, fair play. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But
we think you've got to be mad to play rugby league. To play wheelchair rugby league, you've got to be one step further.
I tell you what, they do get ripped in, don't they?
Yeah.
Do they ever?
We go on about lack of respect for your own body.
Yeah, well done.
They are brilliant.
Well done.
Well done, boys.
Go on, bring the cup home. A lot of people asking about the coaching change at Featherstone. Obviously, last week we knew who was going out. We didn't know who was going in.
Honest, we didn't know.
Who knew? John Duffy turned up. We went, whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, I just had a fiver on Rich Yeager. No.
Why do you have a fiver on me?
You weren't in the betting. But
I was in the St. Helens bet, didn't it? We were at 250-1 or something, or 2,500.
What do we think of John Duffy's appointment at Featherstone Rovers? We expect him to be playing a more expansive and exciting brand of rugby, I guess.
I think it's a very interesting time, given that he could have lost at Toulouse. He did subsequently lose at Toulouse. And there's no guarantees they're going to do any better in the eights than they did last year.
No, they're the lowest ranked team.
I know, so. Mark Campbell says, look, he expects them to do better. They've got the team to do better. But
yeah, John Duffy
could start next season having lost his first eight games, and he could have done. I'm not saying he will.
Yeah, what Mark wants, he wants to play a more expansive, attractive game, and John Duffy's brought that to Swinton. Okay, I know you've mentioned the defensive wise, you know, there's a flaw, say, sent from that Swinton side, but what Mark wants, he wants a more attractive, entertaining game and a better brand of rugby league. That's what he wants, and
is that more important than winning?
He wants both. He wants to win, but he wants to win in an entertaining way, you know. And
because what he achieved, I'm not sure John Sharp could have done any more from a result.
From a result point of view. We spoke about that last week, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
So the pressure's on John Duffy to maintain the results.
Oh, to maintain the results, but do it in the right way.
They have to finish in the top four next year. Mm. Yeah. Bearing in mind that next year,
Mark wants top two. He wants to get top two
because not only will he have, you would think. Toronto and or London or Hull KR if they don't go up, or Liam Widnes if they come down, it's going to be a harder league, three teams at the top who are full time before he even starts.
Yeah,
so actually getting in the top two is asking probably too much.
I thought that. Big shout out to Ant Nunn. He's just Facebooked us in. Have you seen that one, Rich?
Yeah, drove to Catalans from Cass just to watch the game. Determined not to miss a game this season. 21-hour drive there, 19 hours back, but we made it and loved the game.
Was it downhill on the way back?
When you saw the crowd again on TV, what a great support from Cass, wasn't it? They were absolute lovely. And did you see one guy on the TV screens? I tell you what.
Which means plenty of disrespect.
The cap, you remember the old handicap, you know, and in the paper, it was just like him. He had one tee for the left hand side and the big hat on there, and he had a lovely smile like this, and it was lovely. But
it's like sitting next to Les Dawson.
He would enjoy himself.
No score, he was a world gurney.
He would enjoy himself, bless him. But I tell you what a great atmosphere the Castleford fans. I could start laughing.
Who said the image of rugby league has changed?
And
The letters got me a captain.
It was the French TV, so it's not our fault. Dave says to reignite the cup, because people want us to talk about the cup, which I think we have.
Well, we have talked about it.
He replaced the Magic Weekend with the quarterfinals as a weekender and the semi finals of a doubleheader, both at big grounds outside the Heartlands. And he'd also make it compulsory to play a minimum of 4 under 19 year olds to promote the need to create talent. Interesting.
Wait, hey, listen, we've got loads of under 19 year olds who have plenty of talent, but they're not prepared. Teams are not prepared to give them the opportunity. It's as simple as that.
But if all the teams aren't prepared to give them the opportunity, surely there is a reason behind that, that they don't think they're physically developed.
Well, all right, so what age are they physically developed then?
No, I think it's...
21, 22, 23, 24?
I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. Brad Singleton would be a classic example of somebody who is developing now into a top-class prop forward, but it's taken him 3-4 years to get to that. Learning off the likes of Jamie Peacock to start with, Kylie Luluai. I'm not sure that we fully appreciate, because we don't see it on a day-to-day basis, what it takes to even train at this level, never mind play.
I do.
No. No, you don't.
It's different now, Scott. It is. You can't say it's not...
Do you not think we trained in our day?
Yes.
Well, from what you've said, no. 20 hours in the town hall tavern or at Stoggies or whatever it's called.
We did train.
Don't lie.
Yeah, but we did train.
What?
The more we drank, the harder we trained to get some more back in. You know,
did you have a wrestle room when you trained?
A wrestle room? Do me a favour. I tell you what, it's a good job Trevor Skinner like the Len Case went wanting wrestle rooms. Poor, tell you
I'm
what.
I'm going to start calling you Uncle Albert soon.
Get him a hat.
You in the wall.
You doing his impressions now.
Multi-talented, this guy. Multi-talented.
I remember this program we used to talk about rugby league and I'm on this.
There's no call
A wrestle room. So, all right then, I'll throw this one out then. Do you think the wrestling has brought it more attractive to rugby league, wrestling technique?
Oh, of course it
has.
What is interesting is that two of the teams that are struggling in Australia this year are Canterbury and Souths, who were at the forefront of that wrestling technique.
Well, that just tells you.
So it might be that the game's maybe just moving on a little bit.
That just tells you it doesn't work.
Well, it did. It won championships for Wigan and Souths.
Lots of people saying, as Colin has early, in terms of young players and development, bring back reserve grade football, which is another.
Which apparently is not going
program.
To exist next year.
No. Well, up the cream, the whole fanzine have just said thoughts on Hull abolishing reserve grade commitments.
There will be no reserve grade, and it is coming from the clubs.
It's a joke.
Well, maybe
it
should be taken out of their hands.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the RFL's are certainly having it, whether you like it or not. Yeah.
So if you don't, you're not in Super League.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think if you don't have an academy, you shouldn't be allowed in Super League as well.
See, as big as Hull, and
it's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an absolute joke. It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are the kids going to play?
Hull's kids are going to play at Doncaster. I'm convinced that's why Richard Horne is the coach of Doncaster. It's going to become
but do they want to play for Doncaster?
That's how it's going to work.
And how are they going to develop into better quality players when they're playing against rubbish week in and week out?
That's a bit harsh.
It's like Bradford being Leeds feeder club.
Well, I would imagine the kids that...
Pardon?
What did you just say then?
Someone tweeted in early, Bradford are Leeds' feeder club now.
How dare you?
Anyway, predictions. Oh, we've only got two anyway this week.
I'll tell you what, look at that shirt the Anderson's got on the darts. That's like something you'd wear, Richard.
Well, I've got to be careful because I got abused yesterday for wearing my Catalans Tour de France shirt. We did have a couple of people asking about what do you think of Brad Dwyer going to Leeds. I missed it out earlier because we'd done about 4 hours
on
Leeds.
We got sold off for talking about Leeds.
Good signing.
Rob Burrows was impressed with him.
Good signing, Brad Dwyer, but the only issue I have at times is that... A little bit like a Max Shane when he was a little bit inexperienced. He always tries to come up with a champion player. So if he gets out of his game, he'll be an asset to Leeds. Which way he will. He'll be an asset.
I'm prepared to come to be an understudy to somebody else. Not demanding the first team shirt.
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Nothing wrong with demanding. If you believe you're good enough, go get it.
Fair enough. It is time for predictions. We'll start off with the King of Salford telling us all about Wigan and Salford.
Well, if you read the column, there you go. There's the reason why. There's the reason why from there. Read the column and let's say. I'm going Wigan, and as I say, just by their experience, Salford, as I say, bring their A game for the full 80 minutes, they could turn it around, but I just feel as though the quality of what Wigan have got, even though Friday night's performance was absolute dire, I'm going Wigan by 14.
I think Tyrone McCarthy's a really important signing for Salford at this stage of the season. I'm not sure Mark Flanagan's going to play much more. He's been playing busted. They might get 80 minutes out of him in a semi-final. I personally wouldn't play Manu Vatavai, even if he's available. I just wouldn't upset that back division. If Salford can score early, I don't see Wigan chasing a game at the moment. But I've just got a feeling that if Wigan are going to do anything this year, it has to start by getting to Wembley. That is a minimum requirement for them. And okay. I suspect they will.
By how many?
Oh, I've no idea.
I think it's going to be a very tricky game to call just because both team seasons depend on it. You know, with the other one, at least Hull and Leeds have a good chance of making it to the grand final one way or the other. I want to say Salford. But
you want to see the doctor leading his team out of Wembley?
I want to say Salford because they might give way for the chance to overtake them in the league. That they might on Wembley. But Scott, he's awful. It's going to be Leeds and Wigan again in the final.
Wonder if Salford, if they can. I know they've got a few injuries. That's the only worry I've got. I think they might have one too many injuries. But I think if they turn up and play, I think they'll beat Wigan. The one worry is who's going to be on the pitch and are they going to be fit. But go on then, I'll go for Salford. And in the other one, it's a Gary Schofield derby. It's all against Leeds.
Yes, and just also, as I've said, I hope it's not played on emotion. You know, with Robbie Burrow and Danny Maguire there from there, which I'm sure it won't be from Leeds' point of view, but we Hull, with the emotion of last year, and also to, you know, the cup holders from there, and all the emotion, because if they do get there for the second time running, it will be another creative piece of history from there, and then if they do manage to go on and win it again to the end of August, it's history recreate again, so whatever happens. So I'm just thinking, emotionally wise, will Hull be, you know, from that point of view, from Leeds, will they go in a little bit more relaxed from there? But I just think the big difference is going to be Joel Moon. Yeah, it's going to be a great contest between him and Albert Kelly, but I just feel Leeds, they won't get into a battle with the forwards. They'll be looking to move the ball around, ask a few questions out wide, a little bit more creativity. And I'm going for the Rhinos to win by 8.
I think if Hull can tap into the memory of last year and what it meant to them and how important it was to them. Gareth Ellis is fit enough to lead them around the park for at least half of the game. They are not going to give up their trophy lightly. They'll want to keep it tight. They'll want to overpower Leeds. They know they've got a poor record. The only thing that might prey on Hull's mind is that they haven't found a way to beat Leeds recently. And whether it's been a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game, the 10-7 the other week at Headingley, Leeds adapted. I think Leeds will have all their players fit who they quite patently rested last week.
Come on, Phil. We're going back to Wembley, are we?
That's worth a fight.
I just wouldn't rule Hull out at the moment.
Well, you've got to rule one out.
Phil, are we going back to Wembley?
No, I'll go Hull.
Oh, no! 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 Why? Why? Why?
Because they got the cup. They're a good team.
Even though Andy's, Bob on the money here saying fed up with Leeds.
Best piece of proud Wakefield fan.
I think there was questions over Hull's defence on the wings in that game against Huddersfield at the weekend. I can see Ryan Hall perhaps scoring a hat-trick.
Ooh.
Leeds in a high-scoring game. It'd be the opposite of the game in the league.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't say Leeds. I think Leeds will
win. Come on, say it.
I think Leeds will win. No, I don't. I'm going Hull. I think Hull will defend their crown. Hull Salford in the semi-final. There you go. That's it. We're done. Although we're not quite done, because we've got like a bit of extra time after the Hooter. You can watch us in the Fish and Chip Challenge. Steve Austin actually asked Scully. He was surprised when he saw your belly on the Fish and Chip Challenge. He thought it'd be bigger than that. And he said, do you shave your belly? Just
no,
a quick
one. No, I don't.
No, no, okay, no.
And it's a six-pack.
Six-pack?
Six barrel.
So I was going to say six barrel.
Is that what they call twins these days?
It is. That's it, boys. It's flown by. You can watch it if you're watching on Facebook.
Stay
stick
there.
Around and watch. It is worth a laugh. There are some very good moments. Phil was the winner. Let's hope, from Richard and I's point of view, it's the only Leeds winner this weekend. Leeds fans, if you're listening, well, never mind. Thanks to Rich, thanks to Gary, thanks to Phil, as always. Thanks to you for listening. Don't forget, two tickets for the semi-finals. Retweet, share, like. If you listen to the podcast, let us know. See you next week.